It's Friday! Okay, Tokyo!
South America!
Australia! Germany!
UK.
Africa!
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running for this, the 27th day of March 2020. 23 years ago on this day, a comet hung in the sky. I remember the blue sky well. The comet hung in the sky over Women's and Children's Hospital in Charleston, West Virginia, as our youngest entered the world. Happy birthday, my doodle. Happy birthday indeed, and many, many happy returns. Hi, I'm Bob. It's Friday on the front porch here on the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live from 5 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday Eastern Time. 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific time, and all times in between and inside or outside, depending where you happen to be listening live. And this is one of the more special programs of any given broadcast week, because here in about an hour, we will make our way toward the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable, around which we will all gather and see what is on various and sundry minds. Sparky, who has moderated the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable for lo these many years, has said this is going to be a kick-ass Friday on the front porch. So if you want to be there for it, go to HeadOn.live, and there's a big old banner right there at the top. Click it where it says click here, and it will carry you into the conversation that will get started here. Like I said, in about an hour. Every program at the Horn, however, begins with gratitude, because you are the ones who make the Horn possible, who keep the program going day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. And so, thanks go out to our 27th day of the month. Subscriber, and that would be Robert in Australia. Thank you very, very kindly, Robert, for being a partial sponsor of the program for so very long indeed. Thank you, Robert. Thank you so very, very much. Thanks also going out, because I made my way, I had to go down to the settlements for provisions, and I made my way over to Beckley, and so I want to also send thanks out to our buddy Dennis in Columbus, to Brandon in Brooklyn. Thank you very kindly to RJ. Thank you. And thanks also to S. Thank you, S, out in California. Thank you very much for being part of how we keep all of this going without having to implore you to buy gold or
or Bose Wave radios or steel buildings or super beats or nutritional supplements of any sort or any of that foolishness. Thank you, one and all. Thank you to Lady B for jumping in first here this evening, answering part of Darlene's challenge from last night. The beginning of the program, Darlene's challenge stood at $75. It's now at $65, thanks to Lady B getting us started. And here's where we stand. To finish the week, we are at $295. To finish the month of March, we are at $695. And if we were able to pull off a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle this evening, we could have 2 days of fundraising free radio. And that would be fan-freaking-tastic. So $295 to finish the evening, $695 finishes the month, and then we see what comes with April. Okay? So that's where it all stands. And if you want to help out, just run over to headon.live. Right there on the main page is the interface for contributions. And if you'd like to become a subscriber, well, the opportunity is there as well. Now, where to begin? Well, I don't want to necessarily tout the mickle powers of my tattered purple robe with the frayed appliqued moon and stars and "Will thee kiss me in the dark, baby" written on the front and blow in the dark paint, but well, I got here first where this topic is concerned. People are beginning to take note that there's no place for spreading the coronavirus quite like a house of worship. And while responsible churches have closed, others have insisted upon remaining open. For instance, one of those states that's doing a horrible job of dealing with the coronavirus outbreak, the pandemic, the Trump pandemic, hashtag Trump pandemic, Alabama. And Lee County, Alabama, the county seat of Lee County, Alabama, is Opelika. It's also the home of Auburn University. And Lee County is seeing a jump in coronavirus cases, not just because of testing. Back on March the 15th, Lee County, Alabama, had one positive case of coronavirus. As of March 27th, not quite 2 weeks later, there are 47 cases of COVID-19 in Lee County, Alabama. Wonder why that is. Well, the East Alabama Medical Center in Opelika issued a press release, and they said, while there are no absolute patterns among the 47 confirmed cases in Lee County, one nugget of information does stand out a little. You have to write like that down in Alabama, you know, Bible Belt and all. One little nugget of information does stand out a little. The last public setting for a sizable number of the 47 people confirmed to have COVID-19 in Lee County, Alabama, was, everybody, church. The press release goes on to say, not at one church, and not at churches in one town, but at church in general. But I think we can unpack that a little bit. because we know who's not. We know that the Roman Catholic Church is being responsible. It's pretty certain that the Episcopal Church is being responsible. So that leaves your evangelical types, your charismatic types, your snake handlers and tongue speakers and floor rollers and oil anointers and foot washers. In other words, the real nutcases. The statement goes on to say, while many churches have moved to online services only or canceled church services altogether in the interim, there are reports that some still met as recently as last Sunday. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And they're the kinds of congregations where they don't just sit there and be the frozen chosen. Sit, stand, kneel, sit, stand, kneel. No. These are the folks who have, oh, I don't know, sound systems that would make the Who weep in envy. Downright rock and roll setups. Jumbotrons, shit like that. Or the humble little churches in the Wildwood that don't have any of that sort of thing, but still manage to maintain some frighteningly close human contact. Over in Arkansas, Stan. Hi, Haley. The Daily Herald says that some 43 people are sick now, having first attended services at the Life Church. No, I'm sorry, that's not Arkansas. That's Illinois. Glenview, Illinois, where they have the Life Church. 43 people are sick. 10 people so far have tested positive for the coronavirus, having gone to services at the Life Church of Glenview, Illinois. And they had a children's event at First Assembly of God in Greer's Ferry, Arkansas. There's the Arkansas part of the story. And a lot of people attended the children's event. And about 36 people who did are now sick. This feels like a clue. Doesn't it to you? And, of course, last night I mentioned the story of the guy who became the first death in Virginia who had posted that the coronavirus, COVID-19, was a hoax. He did. And now, today, another story from the Christian Post. He was the gospel sharp at the New Vision Community Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. Jack, stay away from there, buddy. Pastor Ronnie Hampton of the Vision Community Church in Shreveport. Well, he wanted to make sure that he got the best possible information to his flock. And broadcasting live on Facebook a week ago, he said, this virus that is out now, look at what it's doing. It's shutting down everything, which means that the physical connection of Christians is being ripped apart. We're not able to fellowship. We're not able to love each other. Listen, you know, Christian pastors loving on people is part of your problem. Maybe that's not such a bad thing. We're not able to greet each other with a handshake or a hug. We're not able to be in close proximity of each other. We're not able to break bread, sit down, and eat with each other because Caesar is mandating how we conduct ourselves using the pretext of this farce to be able to conduct our lives and run our lives for us. Now, here's a theory. It was brought to my attention that this VARS thing, people die from the flu more than they've died from this VARS. In my opinion, death is death. I don't care what it's by. But I listened, and they say, well, it's something that's come up. And now everything's being shut down, borders are being closed, and they're going to come up with a vaccine because they're keeping everybody away from each other just so that they can install martial law. They're going to come up with a vaccine. And in that vaccine, everybody's going to have to take it. And inside of that vaccine, there's going to be some type of electronic computer device that's going to put some type of chip in you and maybe even have some mood, mind-altering circumstances. And they're saying that the chip would be the mark of the beast. I haven't tested positive for the coronavirus, and if I do test positive, what we do what we got to do to take care of it. I want you to know that the Lord said not to let your heart be troubled. So I'm not trying to worry about this. I'm just going to continue to be prayerful, be faithful. This may be his way of sitting me down so I can get a little rest. Why so modest? How about eternal rest? Because you see, Pastor Ronnie Hampton of the New Vision Community Church of Shreveport, Louisiana, Stan, is dead. And he is dead from COVID-19. And however many people showed up around him might be infected too. A nationwide shut the churches order is probably the single most important thing we could do to slow the spread of this plague. I mean, we're not going to baseball games. We're not going to basketball games. We're not going to hockey games. We're not getting our nails did or our hair did or getting the comb over trimmed at the barber shop. We ain't a bingoing, and we're not going to the gambling dens. We're not dining out. And you can see how among the weak-minded, church would be like a moth, like a flame to a moth. The only problem being that when the moth flies into the flame, it just takes out the moth. This is more like the moth is going and getting a bundle of Molotov cocktails and throwing them into their communities of other moths, including moths that have the good sense not to fly into the flame. Jesus. Yeah, I know, it's not prayer meeting Wednesday. But this, I have a feeling that stories like this are just going to keep popping up, regardless of the day of the week, and I can't save them all for Wednesday. And that's not a religion thing so much as it's a, don't be stupid thing. But it's all over the country, these assholes telling people to continue to go to church with a plague going on. What else? Well, out California way, and this is the only word I know to describe this is infuriating. Disgusting, sickening. Out in California, a 17-year-old boy is dead. He showed up at an urgent care facility. He didn't feel good. He had no previous reported health conditions. It happened in Lancaster, California. The boy showed up at an urgent care facility, and they said, "Get out of here. Go to the public hospital. We don't have time for you here. You don't have insurance. Fuck off." And shortly thereafter, en route to the hospital, he went into cardiac arrest. According to the mayor of Lancaster, California, they were able to revive him and keep him alive for about 6 hours, but by the time he got there, it was too late. Seventeen years old. Turned away by a for-profit urgent care. Back in Louisiana, Stan, another teenager died, as did a 21-year-old woman in the UK. You know, in regard to the 17-year-old boy in Lancaster, California, I guess we can put paid to Bishop Willard Romney's claim from back in 2012 that no one ever gets turned away, and you'll always be treated in this country. Jesus. I gotta stop saying that. Steve in New York reminds us that there's also a 12-year-old girl fighting for her life in Georgistan. She's on a ventilator. You know, one of those ventilators that the psychopath in the White House says we really don't need. 12-year-old girl, her name's Emma, is struggling to remain alive and above ground in a hospital in Atlanta. Her cousin said she tested positive for the coronavirus. She was diagnosed with pneumonia on March 15th, tested positive Friday night, the following, then Saturday, she was on a vent, and she's in stable condition. This is the reality. Stand by. Sorry. That was Ferg. Sometimes I just have to be updated on things. Yeah, that's true. As to the dead preacher, Stephen New York says, "Hold on there a second. I thought Donald Jesus Trump was at the helm, so we were now a godly nation." Well, you know, your Caesar in that scenario is probably your Nancy Pelosi. Oh, that's very kind. Thank you, Lady B. Lady B says, writer, storyteller, poet, and all-around nice guy. Thanks for all you do. That's just sweet. Thank you. It's also inspiring. I had a couple of emails earlier in the day. Dave says, I called my son last night. He's 31, married, has Asperger's, asthma, severely ADHD, obese, and so kind. He works as a wine steward for what used to be the major West Coast supermarket chain. Living where folks take their wine seriously, the patrons of this store in Marin relied on his palate, and he sold them tons of wine. I call him at a certain time in the late afternoon because I know he'll be on his commute and willing to talk. He never thinks to call me, but he's always glad when I call him. There were no traffic sounds in the background this time. I asked him how it's going, and he said he's got it. The supermarket had accepted his 15 days off note from the doctor, and now he and his wife were holed up in their apartment they can't really afford, awaiting what lies ahead. It seems that the crush to hoard is no less prevalent for the affluent areas of California than it is for the poorest ones. All the warehouse, stocking, and manager help at the store were reassigned to cash registers to deal with the demand. My son said it was a wonder to see checkout aisles that had never been open in all the time he'd worked there, buzzing away with stuffed carts and customers. The employees' protection consisted of hand sanitizer use between each sale. None of the other you go where you're needed. He'd been working 16-hour days, 8 checking and 8 spent ordering and stocking. He's got it. Dave closes saying, you're going to get letters like this 1,000 times before we find the new normal. And I fear that's true. And at 5:27 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, we got frontiered for the first time this evening. Thank you, Dave. I got it restarted. Hopefully it will normalize in short order out there once we get through the internet latency. Back to the churches. Of course it's a clue, says Steve in New York. They didn't pray hard enough or handle enough snakes. Duh, Bob. Yeah. By the way, Dave said, I withdraw yesterday's email smacking Tehama County. I didn't know they lacked a full-service hospital. They may never get a dot on the Johns Hopkins map. Sorry, Sparky. And a note coming from Rick, not billable Rick, a different Rick in the fraternity of Ricks. Hope your day's been a good one. Well, thank you, Rick. I'm an advanced emergency medical tech here in rural eastern Washington State. The job at times can be trying. My wife has brought the following situation to my attention, and I hope you can put some light on the issue. It must take some kind of special asshole to do something like this. Yeah, I suspect it does. Wow, Frontier's really on their game this evening. Sheesh. We will keep at it. You guys keep sending me the messages, so I'll fix it as soon as I see it. Speaking of the preacher in Louisiana, Flavio says he was deader than a nail. Or a horseshoe nail? No, it was deader than Pharaoh's cat. So, we did manage to get the $2.2 trillion stimulus bill passed. I watched some of the debate of it earlier today. And it was kind of weird watching the watching all those Republicans march up to the microphone, socially distanced, of course, and say,
I got some grave misgivings about this here bill and all the stuff I don't like that's in it. But I know some small business owners back in my district in Busted Knuckle. And, well, we just got to help these people. But don't think I like doing it. Because I don't.
Democrats, meanwhile, stepped up to the mic and said, I'm doing this because we have to do this and we have to all be in this together. And people need help. One member of the House, a Democrat from Massachusetts, stepped to the microphone and said, I'm voting for this bill, but I'm upset. He said, I'm upset because we've left the workers of the United States Postal Service out in the cold. Nothing for them. So Postal Service workers have a new hero. Count Dicula's daughter, Liz, who was last seen being attacked online by Republicans screaming at her, it's not Ebola! She actually stepped to the microphone and behaved for a brief shining moment in her otherwise miserable existence like a human being. And there was Steny Hoyer on the other side of the aisle praising her for being a decent human being. The bar is so low if you're a Republican. If you can manage to step to the microphone and you know, not have one finger up a nostril and the other up your ass and complain about big government and how we got to have fiscal responsibility and personal responsibility, well, shit, you're awesome. Yep. Yeah, thank you, Lee. After the last frontiering, Lee said, the last frontiering. That sounds kind of weird. After the last frontiering, Lee in New York said, glad you got back to transmitting only two or three dozen more times before the end of the broadcast. Oh, Lee, you little ray of sunshine, you. We blipped at 5:33 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, but it didn't show up here. Go figure. I know, grave misgivings, Steve in New York says, goddess of irony much. She's been damn busy. Ha-ha, the joke's on you, says Steve. For Republicans, there is no bar. The only bar for Republicans is the one they belly up to celebrate every time they manage to fuck over a working person. No Postal Service funds, asked David in South Carolina, Stan. Well, this is because of the new effort for national vote by mail. Right. The beatings will continue until morale improves, right? Okay. Correcting Dave. Sparky says we have a fucking full service hospital here in Red Bluff. Good to know. But that article said Tehama County didn't have a, yeah, whatever. Oof. And the pettiness, you'd like to think that the pettiness would abate, but that would be magical thinking. Corona Caligula is never going to be anything but what he is. Because what he is, he has been all his life. Born probably with a damaged brain. But lo and behold, he finally invoked the Defense Production Act today because he got mad at General Motors. After yesterday saying that Andrew Cuomo didn't know what he was talking about in saying that he needed 30,000 ventilators, well, apparently that didn't play too well. So they decided to trigger the invoke the Defense Production Act to compel General Motors to build ventilators. Of course, it was announced via a tweet.
As usual with this General Motors, things just never seem to work out. They said they were going to give us 40,000 much-needed ventilators very quickly. Now they're saying it will only be 6,000 in late April, and they want top dollar. Always a mess with Mary B. Invoke P.
You mean like the way you invoked the pee when you were in the Ritz-Carlton in Moscow and you had the hookers there pee on the bed where Barack and Michelle slept? Is that what you mean by invoke pee, COVID Caligula?
He continued and said, General Motors must immediately open their stupidly abandoned Lordstown plant in Ohio or some other plant and start making ventilators now. Ford, get going on ventilators, fast.
Because that'll make it happen.
I only signed the Defense Production Act to combat the Chinese virus, should we need to invoke it in a worst-case scenario in the future. Hopefully there will be no need, but we're all in this together.
That was 9 days ago. Lee tweeted that. The single greatest impediment to a successful response to this plague is Donald J. Trump. That's all there is to it. He's deranged, demented, intellectually damaged. And don't you think if this was a situation where a Democratic president was behaving like this, that a Republican Congress would have impeached him, and that a Republican Senate, probably along with some cooperating Democrats, would have removed him from office? Yeah. But his pettiness and vindictiveness knows no bounds. Earlier today, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who, by the way, is said to be on Joe Biden's short list, along with Senator Cortez Masto of Nevada, Representative Val Demings of Florida, Amy Klobuchar, and Kamala Harris. Well, Gretchen Whitmer's busy being governor right now. And she went on WWJ News Radio for an interview today. And she said, what I've gotten back is that vendors with whom we've procured contracts, they're being told not to send stuff to Michigan. It's really concerning. I reached out to the White House last night and asked for a phone call with the president. Because, of course, he was running his mouth about her.
We've had a big problem with a woman governor. You know who I'm talking about, from Michigan. We don't like to see the complaints. She doesn't get it done, and we send her a lot. Now she wants a declaration of emergency, and, you know, we'll have to make a decision on that. But Michigan is a very important state. I love the people of Michigan. And I would build a bridge out of their bodies and walk across on them if I thought it would get me reelected.
He announced last night that he actually put off a phone call with Xi Jinping of China in order to appear via phone with that life support system for a haircut, the Hannity job. Jesus. Jesus Christ. So now he's playing games with people's lives. It's no longer a matter of him shooting a person in the middle of Fifth Avenue. He's gunning for people in their thousands, if not millions. We desperately need Mike Pence to write that Section 4 of the 25th Amendment letter. And we need sign-off by the cabinet. Because, see, the thing is, the maggots are already dying. Those two dead preachers, those weren't potential Biden voters. Oh, no. We know exactly who they were. I don't know. Except to say that it's, well, it's frightening. And it's getting more so. Charges have been filed, federal charges have been filed against Gavin Wesley Blake Perry, charged with transmitting a threatening communication in interstate commerce. He wrote a Facebook post, you see, because they can't help it, these maggots. According to WLBT-TV, he posted, "If you're a Dem or a part of the establishment in the Democrat side, I view you as a criminal and a terrorist, and I advise everyone to go SOS, that means shoot on sight among the gun humpers, and use live rounds. This is not going to change until we attacked, A-T-T-A-C-T. NSA, the DOJ, the FBI, and capital A-N-E, he writes like his dear leader, any other agencies who want to get involved, shoot to kill. This is a revolution. Nancy Pelosi is a part of a satanic cult, and so are the people who work closely with her. Dems of the establishment will be removed at any cost necessary, and yes, that means by death." So then when the officers showed up to arrest him, I don't know if they took him to Burger King, he said that his rights to free speech were being violated by the officers. And then he told the agents, you know violating my free speech is punishable by death, don't ye? I don't know if I've got the right accent or not. I'm just projecting and guessing here. But it did come out of the office of the U.S. attorney in Dallas. U.S. Attorney Aaron Neely Cox said, "Americans are entitled to voice their opinions, but we will not allow them to threaten our officials' physical safety." It's in a way, it's a little bit like how we haven't tested for COVID-19 to nearly the degree that we should have. We also haven't looked nearly hard enough
at how bad, how broad, and how deep the Nazi white supremacist sovereign citizen problem is in this country. Not by a long shot. No. Oh, and by the way, it's been kind of a long day. I mean, I was up there. I was fired up and ready to go when my filthy morning habit came on this morning. And in real time, during the first or second hour, the news broke that Bojo, that would be British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, Bojo has the coronavirus and has gone into self-quarantine at 10 Downing Street. One problem, 50-something Bojo has a girlfriend, considerably younger than he, and Bojo's girlfriend is pregnant, presumably with Bojo's child. One wonders where she's going to quarantine and how far away from Bojo. It wasn't long at all ago that Bojo was just like Mike Pencilneck Geek. Bojo was bragging about how he was going to keep on shaking hands. Oh, follow up. You remember the little blonde social media influencer who tried to start the coronavirus challenge by licking a toilet? Well, she's an influencer, and she got some other people to do it. Including a boy. Yes, he's in the hospital. With coronavirus. Speaking of the guy who wanted to murder Nancy Pelosi and, well, anybody else he deemed to be in need of murder, Eileen in New York City says on Twitter, he has such a gentle, coercive way with words, doesn't he? Oh, doesn't he just? Ah, there's Bojo. From not too long back. What was that, Bojo?
No, Victoria, I can tell you that I'm shaking hands continuously. I was at a hospital the other night where I think there were actually a few coronavirus patients, and I shook hands with everybody. You'll be pleased to know, and I continue to shake hands. And I think it's very important that we, you know, people obviously can make up their own minds. I think Matt has said that people must make up their own minds, but I think the scientific evidence is, well, I'll hand over to the experts, but our judgment is wash. Washing your hands is the crucial thing.
Yeah, okay. How's that working out? Yeah. Frontiered again. And back. I have a feeling that the goddess of irony is working overtime during this plague. And we would be wise not to not to tweak her pink tomato nose. I'm trying really hard not to. Now they did. It was fascinating. There was a little bit of a drama as they passed the coronavirus stimulus bill. Because see, there's a and remember this is a technical term. There's a dickhead from Kentucky named Thomas Massey.
You dick.
And he's a member of the Freedom Caucus, and he's worried about fiscal responsibility. And he was trying to force a roll call vote and give me just a second here. Well, darn it. Try back again. Thought I had the ringer off. I do now. Stress line's connected, but for some reason or another, it didn't connect. Anyway, Thomas Massey was trying to shit on the parade and slow the process by which we are sending relief to people who desperately need it to a crawl and forcing the entirety of Congress to come back and deal with him. Because he, Thomas Massey, is more important than every out-of-work American there is. And so there was a little moment where he tried to object to a voice vote and got busted.
Mr. Speaker, I yield back the balance of my time.
Gentleman yields back the balance of his time. All time for debate has expired. Pursuant to House Resolution 911, the previous question is ordered on the motion. The question is on adoption of the motion. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes have it.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purposes, gentlemen, seek recognition?
Mr. Speaker, I came here to make sure our republic doesn't die by unanimous consent in an empty chamber, and I request a recorded vote.
A recorded vote is requested. Those favoring a recorded vote will rise and remain standing until counted. An insufficient number having risen, a recorded vote is refused.
Mr. Speaker.
Is the gentleman recognized?
I object on the basis that a quorum is not present and make a point of order that a quorum is not present.
The chair will count for a quorum. Counted for a quorum. A quorum is present. The motion is adopted. Without objection, a motion to reconsider is laid upon the table. Pursuant to Section 7B of House Resolution 891, the House stands adjourned until 3 p.m. on Tuesday, March 31st, 2020.
How about that? You reckon, and again, anytime you see one of these pencil neck pricks, you have to wonder about the people who send him to Congress. How dare he suggest that the republic is dying because people won't fucking starve to death and be thrown out of their homes? How dare he? You gotta wonder what kind of reception he'll get back in from like the local papers and so forth. Back in Sister Fister, Kentucky. Jesus. Where was Louis Asparagus Gohmert? Where was Steve Cantaloupe's King? Where was Mo Brooks, Les Brains? That had to sting a little bit to have Democrats and Republicans alike cheering the fact that you had been told to sit down and shut the fuck up. That's kind of a beautiful moment, really. So, we're nearing the top of the hour. And we will go to the Old Holler Tree, wherein we keep the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Get that conversation going in short order. If you'd like to join, remember, if you're listening live, of course, it's not much help if you're listening to the podcast. But if you're listening live, you're welcome to click that link at the top of the page at headon.live and jump into the conversation. And by the way, we still got $65 to go on Darlene's relay race challenge from last night. Darlene would like somebody to step up with $75, meet her challenge, and send it on down the road. And in fact, there's only 65 of it remaining. And like I said, we've got $295 to go to finish the week, and then 400 more for Monday and Tuesday. If we put together a community-made miracle, we could have a couple of days of fundraising free radio on Monday and Tuesday, which would be delightful. Awesome. And I'm still waiting for the connection to the Old Holler Tree. There we go. Good deal. Hey, Sparky, how are you this afternoon?
How you doing? I'm doing just great. Got my chores done today. Did some lawn mowing. I don't know what... It's Tehama County. We have a hospital. I don't know where Dave got that idea.
Well, no, it was in a news report that I had last night.
Oh, I don't know where you got the news report.
I'm trying to think of which one it was, but offhand, it just doesn't come to mind.
Both my mom and dad spent time in that hospital. My wife has spent time in that hospital. I went through the emergency room there years ago, got my arm stitched back up. So I don't know what you call it. We across the street, we got a imaging center with everything you need. And they're doing coronavirus tests.
Are they?
At the hospital if you have the symptoms. So far, there's nobody, a positive case. But I see Beckley has one case.
Yep. There's a case in Beckley, and there's a case in Kanawha County. And Fayette County smack dab in the middle of those two. Not inspiring. And among other things, I was doing some reading earlier today about... You know, problems we're having here. It's a website called 100daysinappalachia.com. The headline says people are fleeing to Appalachia to escape COVID-19. That needs to stop. And it all begins apparently with an article on March the 20th in DCIST. And the piece was all about how this was a great place to come to for some social distancing. Well, the problem is we're painfully short of hospital beds. For instance, smack dab in the middle of the tourism industry, you know, which I am, we got one hospital with 25 beds. That's it. 25 beds. Maybe there's one ventilator. I can't imagine there's more than two or three. And so... Go ahead.
Well, I'm getting my information off of Weather Underground. They have a little section where every city has lists coronavirus cases. They're listing there's 231 cases in Washington, D.C., and 30 people have died. So,
yeah.
Did you see that link I posted earlier about the buffet going to be on Easter at Trump Hotel?
No, Jesus. How did I miss that? Where'd you post it?
Oh, I posted it in the Skype chat.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. I can't. It's hard for me to watch the chat during the, you know, when I'm watching everything else.
Well, I sent you a link.
Oh, okay.
On YouTube for the shit show today, and I sent you a link.
Yeah, okay. I got the shit show link.
And there was another link I got off of Twitter of a job site foreman lecturing his crew. It's about 2 minutes long. I don't know if you want to play it. It's pretty good.
Okay, I'm looking for it now. How long ago did you send it? Have a look at this. The electricians walked out.
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody's got to turn their audio off in the background.
I'm working on it.
Was that Otto?
I don't know. He's Tim Smith.
Yeah, that's Otto.
Reginald Tate's in there, too. I both muted them. So everybody's muted.
Okay. So let's see. I've got that piece queued up from Twitter. You got a backgrounder on this?
It's a job site somewhere. It's a big job site with all them workers on it. I don't know what kind of crew it is, but all I know is the guy says the electricians walked out and it'll explain itself.
All right.
You listen to the guy.
Okay. If I lose my job, I lose my job. I shouldn't be speaking like this. But I don't care. I fucking don't give a fuck anymore because I'm scared too. I got an 86-year-old home with oxygen at home. My wife is crying every time I go home because she doesn't know I'm going to kill her father if I have something. Guys, it's in your hands. You decide what you want to do. I heard the electrician walked out. That was their choice. You guys have the same choice to do it. Okay? Let's look out for each other. We don't have 6 feet amongst each other here. When you're in the work site there, you guys don't have 6 feet around you. We're all breathing on each other. Where's your eating facilities? Are they sanitized? You have water to wash your hands when you eat your sandwiches? I leave it in your hands, guys. You guys decide what you want to do. I give you the information. Okay? That man there did not show me the washing facilities in this, and he kicked me out of his trailer. He doesn't own anybody. You don't need to be intimidated by that man. He doesn't own us. Nobody owns us, not even the government. You have a family at home too, eh? You have a responsibility.
You'll have a responsibility. Now, you're the doctor.
My office is closed. It's our job to respond. And you walk in and first ask, please leave the office.
Why?
Because it's
closed. Because you're scared for yourself. What about these men? They're not scared, right? Where's the washing facility for these men? They're not here. You have to buy your trailer. You want to protect yourself, not these men. Okay? You scared of me. You guys hear it? That's the way you are, my friend. You scared what I want, man.
I'll turn them in.
And you know, this is going to become a real thing. I've got another story, Sparky.
He's yelling at is the superintendent of the job.
Right, yeah, I figured he was the boss. And so workers at Purdue, not Purdue Pharma, Purdue Farms, a chicken processing plant in Kathleen, Georgia, have walked off the job this week because they say that the company hasn't done enough to protect them from the coronavirus, from the Trump pandemic. Unclean bathrooms, food on the floor. Although the bosses had said the plant would be kept sterile. Kendall and Granville said, all we're asking now is just to sanitize the building. Sanitize the building. Everybody that's been exposed to it, they need to go home. These folks are still on the floor.
Hello.
Because they're hanging people out to dry, and somebody's still echoing. You gotta turn the program down in the background in order to, you know, be part of the conversation. So here at the beginning of the second hour of the program, I have good news. Alma has answered Darlene's challenge and, pursuant to Darlene's request, has carried it forward. And so she saw the challenge and raised it. So there's another $100 on the table, and that's that is Alma's Decency in Humanity challenge. So if that gets met, then we will be making steady progress toward not just finishing the week, but finishing the month. So that Alma's Decency in Humanity challenge is on the table. Thank you, Alma, and thank you, Darlene, and thank you, Lady B. We're gonna knock this out. Somebody was trying to get into the conversation. They sounded rather overmodulated, but hopefully it'll work. Who was that?
I think it was Reginald Tate.
Okay.
I don't think he's up to speed with Skype.
Okay, that's fine. Let's not use. Let's not use last names unless people want to use them, because you don't want to subject. Yeah, you know, we do have little right wing turds that lurk around the margins of this program, and I don't want people getting shit just because the maggots decide to fling poo. Well, when you get it sorted out, Reginald, jump back in. In the meantime, let's. I was just talking about Purdue Farms chicken processing plants in Georgia. Let's jump down and check in with Steve from Georgistan. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Bob.
Sounding good.
Hey, Bob.
Sounding good as usual.
So are you, brother. So are you.
No, that new headset of yours is just kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah, well, if I'd have known, I would have got this. This is easy to get. A lot easier than that Plantronics, man. And so,
what are you using? Logitech?
It's just a Logitech from Wally World. Yeah, they're bottom line Logitech. It's not bad. It's got a mute button on the side of it, and it works really well. I think it's about 40.
Same right guy I do.
Yeah, it works well, doesn't it, Duncan?
I've been using it for a long time. I burn up all of my Plantronic ones.
Yeah, they don't last very long, do they? About 3 years, I guess. But anyhow, Bob, I've just been so pissed off here lately. I've been spitting nails, man.
Well, it's easy. It's easy to get that anger and fear seem to be topping the list, and that's why I try to run in a little funny something here and there as they pop up.
Sure, you have to. You have to have some levity. But what really got me charged up is, you know, you got the states bidding against each other for, you know, PPE and ventilators, and then you got the federal government coming in and outbidding the states.
Yeah, and that's
Jesus
and that's
Christ, what the fuck is going on here, man?
And that's the states that are actually trying to do the right thing, as opposed to the states that are just monumentally fucking up, like Mississippi.
Yeah, I don't. They just went off the rails. He put out an executive order, pretty much saying, "Do what the fuck you want to do."
Yeah, and somebody needs to tell Tate Reeves, because that's the governor's name. And like I said before, I'll bet his great 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 grandpappy was probably part of the Confederate Army. Just bet on it. But somebody needs to tell old Tate Reeves that. You know, we've done burnt Mississippi to the ground once, and if we have to, we've still got the manual on how to do it again.
Exactly. And I'm fed up with the press corps. I heard you go on this rant a couple of nights ago. Why don't one of them stand up and just say, I've got the data right here where you're outbidding all these other states. You're the one. The buck stops with you. What the fuck is going on here? And then just call them out on this shit. But they won't. They just sit there like muted dummies, you know?
I'm
not watching these press conferences anymore. I'm not. I'm done with them.
Well, I kind of am, too. I mean,
there's
a value to hearing from Dr. Fauci. There's a value to hearing from Dr. Birx. But just listening to his daily airing of grievances, bullshit.
Because we're great.
Because, among other things, what this is turning into is what we saw in 2016, Steve.
Yep.
And that is the networks giving him billions of dollars in free publicity that he could never, ever in a million years afford to purchase.
That's exactly right. I mean, it seems like history's repeating itself. And where the fuck is Grandpa Joe? He's doing a town hall tonight or something. It needs about damn time, man.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta look.
Oh, geez.
I'm laying off Biden and Bernie both. I mean, let them do what they're gonna do.
Yeah, we need to.
They're both so old they fart dust, and I don't want them out there pressing the flesh and back slapping And with an old time politician like Joe Biden, trying to get him to stop shaking hands and patting people on the back is like trying to get him to stop breathing. So,
yeah, but he's holed up in his house.
Yeah, he's doing what the country is supposed to be doing.
He'll be doing his thing from his house like he's been doing the last when he finally showed up the other day.
But we need to hear from him daily to counter all this bullshit that Orange is putting out there. This Orange monster.
Yeah, but see, he's not.
Right.
Why
isn't he talking? Sorry.
What do you want him to talk about?
It's okay, Adam.
I mean, why isn't he criticizing Trump? I mean, he should be out there and informing the American people, giving a counter argument like equal opportunity, what they call fair and balanced. You know, he has to show to these people that might be having doubts about Trump. He has to convince them that this guy is a fraud.
Hey. Yeah, but his shows aren't any better than Trump's.
Yeah, I know. Did you hear about the sexual allegation against him that came out?
Yeah, you know what? Don't even bring that up.
Yeah,
don't,
I know.
Don't
but
help.
You know
don't
use
don't,
that.
Don't help the right wing turds.
Exactly. Yeah, but that came up, and Nicole Sandler talked about that on her show today.
Yeah, she probably should have left it alone.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't do their fucking work for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, but this sort of thing, you know, if you study history and pandemics and how it changes the mood of the public, this could really sidewind against Trump, this pandemic and how he's handling it. If it keep the numbers keep going up, he's going to look worse.
Well, the numbers, and I mean, there's no way the numbers aren't going to keep going up.
I know, but as they go, and he sued Biden's campaign for that ad they put out on him.
Yeah, and in fact, you mentioned that. Let's help out a little bit if we can here, because the lawyers for the official pro-Trump super PAC, America First Action, they call themselves the only official pro-Trump super PAC. Guess who runs it? The former small business administrator, Linda McMahon. I didn't realize she'd left. She's running the pro-Trump super PAC and paying herself handsomely for it, I have no doubt. But they got their lawyers to send a nasty gram to Priorities USA saying, "Your ad is misleading. You must take it off the air. It's doctored footage. It's deceptive and misleading, but false. We formally demand that your station refuse to air this advertisement." So Priorities USA told them to take their nasty gram, roll it up really tight, and shove it sideways up their ass.
Good
for them. So just so that we can help out a little bit, because the thing is, it's all true. Everything in this ad is demonstrably true. You can find it. You can cite it. You can find the moments where he says, I mean, so what they're saying is that people should not believe their lying eyes and lying ears, and that Donald Trump didn't say what electronic devices recorded Donald Trump fucking saying.
In his own words.
Yeah.
So, in his own words. But they'll take evidence and they'll just refute it and say, okay, so what?
So well, here, say, what, so here it that? Is. So here it is. This is unpaid.
Yeah.
The coronavirus.
This is the new hoax.
We have it totally under control. It's one person coming in from China.
One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
When you have 15 people and within a couple of days it's going to be down to close to zero, we really think we've done a great job in keeping it down to a minimum.
I like this stuff. I really get it. People are surprised that I understand it.
No, I don't take responsibility at all.
Priorities USA Action is responsible for the content of this ad.
Ooh, no wonder they want that to go away. That stings. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark.
But the problem is, without seeing the graphic of the increasing cases while he's talking, it loses some of its potency.
Yeah, but that's just because we're radio. But all the words are his. And you can hear it without seeing the graph and know that he was either woefully ignorant or lying through his teeth.
Or both.
Man, we have totally left Italy and China in our fucking dust. The number that I just got from the Johns Hopkins site, 100,717 infections. And the total recovered number is getting terrifying because, you know, it used to be roughly half of what the total infections were. No more. Total confirmed worldwide, 590,594. Total recovered, 130,865. Not even a third. Yeah, Steve. Yeah, Steve.
It wasn't me, Bob.
No, I thought it was Steve in New York.
Muted me again.
Ah, there you are.
There I are. You gotta cue up Lee Greenwood. I mean, we're number one.
And I'm proud to live in America where the coronavirus is free. And I want to thank
Donald Trump for giving it to me, and I'd gladly drop dead just for him. Yeah, you mean like that?
So Bob, since yesterday it was like 82,000 infected. So it's jumped up about 18,000 in, what, 24, 48 hours.
Yeah. And some of that is testing.
And that doesn't include people who are not reporting.
Right. That doesn't no. That doesn't count the untested who are asymptomatic but positive. Asymptomatic. Yeah, they're asymmetric. Yeah,
asymptomatic.
Yeah. I only have one eye on the side of my face, so therefore I'm asymmetric.
Right.
Oh, those are the Christians who don't believe in the virus. They're the asymmetric.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they're totally off the rocker. The NBC News had a piece on this megachurch in Ohio. NBC News. And they were saying, well, we're not closing. God's always with us. And I'm like, looking at them and going, you people are idiots. You're crazy, you know? They don't want to look at the science, and that's what drives me nuts about these people. They
don't want to miss a payday.
Hey, John Bredevo.
Easter's a big
day. John.
Hello, Bob Kincaid. How are you? I'm sorry I'm late, buddy. As a matter of fact, I just got off my show. I'm still uploading it, buddy. So I dashed right over here as quick as I could.
Well, I'm mighty glad you did, and I got some thank yous to send out. Thank you to Kyle for jumping in on Alma's Human Decency Challenge. And thank you to Ralphs for jumping in on it. That means we've got $70 to go on Alma's challenge, and then we'll see where that leaves us for Monday and Tuesday. Thank you. Thank you, Kyle, and thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very kindly indeed.
I know things are tough, baby, but it's very important to keep Bob's voice on the air. So y'all think about kicking in a little bit there, and I'm sure he could use it, and so could you.
Well, I mean, they're kind of. I'm trying to keep the bills paid, so that when it really does get shitty, we can hang on for dear life.
And it will.
It's gonna.
You know, we've taken a little bit hit on the show. Some of our Patreon members have had to scale back, but I promised every one of them on my last show that I'm not going to take down a single name that goes on that list. You know, because we scroll a list of the people that donate to our Patreon page at the end of every show. And I'm not going to take anybody's name off. It's not your fault. This is tough times for everybody.
And, I noticed that one of the economists or whatever that was brought on today on TV actually said something that I've been saying for a couple of days now. And I think it's important for people to comprehend it. This is not like the 1929 stock market crash. This isn't like the Bush recession of 2008. No. This isn't Republicans fucking the economy up after robbing us blind like they usually do.
That's coming soon, Bob.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not to say it's not in the script, but that's not what it is right now, John.
Oh, it's in the script.
Yeah. You know, this is something nobody, for the most part, had any control over except for Donald Trump, who should pay a terrible political price in the form of being removed from office for his negligence. I mean,
Donnie's trying to play the game of political perception. That's why there were no Democrats in the signing today. It's the perception. It's the Republicans that are saving your ass and paying you the $1,200 hush money. So shut the freak up.
Right.
And that's what it is. Because when you go digging through, which I did today, and, it just pisses you off. Steve Mnuchin is basically in control of $850 billion freaking dollars that only he can delve out, and it's at their discretion on who's going to get that freaking money.
Well,
you take your little $1,200 check, one-time check, shut up, and be happy.
Right, and you know who's going
to
get that a big piece of that
$800 billion. Oh, baby. One of the headlines is there included in this bill. It said a bonanza for real estate investors. Are you shitting me? You know, we're bailing out companies. You know, it's all about the companies. He's worried about corporations and the stock market. I say, screw your corporations. Corporations are not people. People are the things that work for corporations. You want to help America?
Well,
pay the people.
You know, they're bailing out Boeing, and so that's like saying, hey, if you screw up, you know, if you're unaccountable, we'll get you anyway. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, the thing is about this bill is there is in the bill itself, there is a $60 billion little cutout there for the airlines, of which Boeing will get $17 billion up.
Which they will then use on fucking stock buybacks and executive compensation.
Oh, hell yes, because wait, maybe it ain't over. Stay tuned. Order now, you get two. That $60 billion for the airlines is in the language. That little fund that Steve Mnuchin controls, $500 billion of it is for airlines and companies critical to national security, which will be determined by him and President Dickwad. So, you want to guess, you know, you're already giving them $60 billion, and then you're saying, oh, well, we're going to keep a $500 billion fund here to give them more money.
And that's enough of a pisser. But I think what crawls all over me even more is the idea of bailing out these useless fucking cruise lines.
Oh, what, they ain't even flagged here. Get your ass out of here. Fuck your cruise ship. You know, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to take the same attitude with freaking airlines. You think you're going to, what, the airlines are what? We're going to crush them up for tin cans? Oh, you know, the other day on his little speech there he gave, he said, well, don't worry, restaurants and small businesses will come back. They might just be under a different owner. Hey, screw you. Why don't the airline go out of business? Maybe it'll come back under a different owner. One that ain't raping.
How about we the people?
Coal companies, buddy, they're getting a fucking big chunk of this shit. Coal companies.
This is Bob. This is the sort of thing that happened to the DDR. Everybody got in the DDR after 89, 90, and they just started buying it. I can't remember the name of the company, but there was a documentary I watched. And they bought everything cheap and they marked it up. And that's how they work. They cut the market and then they're able to buy everything cheap.
Well, right. Like no, I mean, you gotta understand all this is being run by people with MBAs from the Harvard School of Business. And I remember my dear friend Bruce, who once declared that MBA stands for more bigger assholes. And so they're treating this like a hedge fund takeover. And of course, there may be some hedge fund takeovers, and yeah, they're gonna bail out. But I also understand that some of this is sausage making. There had to be something for just about everybody, so that everybody would buy in. It's the same model they use in.
I got to cut and paste them.
With like the F-35 joint strike fighter, where there's a, you know, one little widget from the plane is built in every congressional district so that everybody gets to wet their beak. And it's an ugly piece of business. And we should, if we had a responsible Congress, and then, you know, why do I continue? We would have done a bill for small business and for people out of work and for people going hungry. And for people trying to pay their bills, pay their rent, their mortgages, their insurance, their power, gas, whatever, that would have been a separate and discrete bill. And maybe it would have provided for monthly payments and food assistance. But no, we've got to, you know, we can't leave the precious billionaire class with their little noses pressed against the frosty window panes, peering in at us proles sitting down to our lobster dinners. Fuck them. Sincerely. Hey, I see Tracy's with us this evening. You there, Tracy?
Can you hear me?
I do.
Oh, cool. I've never done this on my home computer. So this is... I'm usually driving because I'm usually working.
Yeah.
At this time. But yeah, no. Good news. My sister had to test for corona. She tested negative. She got her results back yesterday.
Good.
So she's okay. Jan still has a job. Today is her, like I said, she got a pay cut, but today's her furlough day. So she's not working today. But again, at least she is entitled to unemployment. Let's see what else. I'm still not working, but like I said, my my company is working on doing getting a contract so we can deliver food to people and possibly a medical transport. I wouldn't want to do the medical transport part because I don't want to be around people if I don't have to be. But definitely the food delivery, because, you know, most of it is you pick it up and then you drop it off at people's, you know, at their front door and keep it moving. But, you know, and I went for a walk yesterday. And well, actually, I ran yesterday and the day before. So things are, you know, slowly getting back to normal. I didn't do shit all today, but I do plan on going for a run after I get off the call. So that part. How's everybody else doing?
Well, it's fairly quiet. It's fairly quiet here in Mount Colby gone.
You said Colby gone?
Yeah, it's the opposite of Lake Wobegon. It's Mount Colby gone.
I know. Lake Wobegon. Like, hey, I do Lake Wobegon. Hey. Oh my God. Oh yes. And did y'all hear that? The naval ship, the hospital, Mercy Hospital ship, has docked in L.A. And that's amazing. It has about 1,000 beds on that ship. And apparently nobody that's on that ship is totally a COVID virus free zone. Nobody that's on that ship is going to be allowed to come off the ship for, you know, recreational purposes and stuff like that, as to not to bring it back on, you know, possibly infect the ship. And I have to say, it's not like I don't know a lot about Gavin Newsom before he became our governor. I know Roger said that he's, you know, something about rattlesnakes, half and ever. What he's doing now as governor in this state is just, I just wish more, you know, states, you know, would follow the example of California, because my concern is no matter how well we do here, we still got motherfuckers in other states that are stupid. And, you know, aside from, you know, placing, you know, California National Guard at our borders, what is there to prevent, you know, these assholes from coming here? Like what's happening to you for people leaving Washington, D.C. and coming to your part of your neck of the woods, you know?
Yeah. Well, what's happening is that there are a few governors who are putting on a masterclass of how to be presidential and how to be a leader and a chief executive. That group includes Jay Inslee in Washington, Gavin Newsom in California, Andrew Cuomo in New York, Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan. And then there's How Not To, and that pack is apparently led by the Trent Reeves in Mississippi and McGovern in South Carolina stand, and Kay Ivey, who values life, you know, even as she's signing death warrants for people to be horizontally crucified in the prisons of Alabama. And they're doing a horrible job. Bless his heart, the governor of Kentucky Stan is busting his ass. And as much as I hate to say it, as screwed up as he is, I give Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice credit for shutting us down early. You know, according to that COVID Act Now website, COVIDActNow.org, if you click on West Virginia, they say that if we continue to shelter in place, our hospitals won't be overwhelmed, and that we will not reach a point where we're rationing ventilators, and that we will keep COVID deaths below 1,000. You know, this can be done, but people have to cooperate. I mean, for instance, Josh Marshall and David in South Carolina Stan sent this along to me. Alabama governor refuses to issue shelter-in-place order. We're not California, Kay Ivey said. Over on Twitter, Brett Pransky said, Alabama takes in over $4 in federal taxes for every dollar it pays into the system.
California pays into the system many times over what it gets back. You're right, Governor Kay Ivey. You're not California, but California pays for most of your economy. And see, these are just unreconstructed Confederates refusing to not be unreconstructed Confederates. They have spent their lives telling each other that government is the problem, not the solution, and they get their hands on government and they bust their fucking asses trying to make that prove to be true. That's goddamn disgusting. But, you know, as the book says, when that day cometh, they will be the ones out there screaming, Lord, Lord. My little home county in Alabama now has 9 with 1 death. Mississippi looks like it's got the fucking measles. Louisianistan is bleeding and burning. And I wonder if they're going to bus in another 1,800 people to that filthy church this week. I mean, I don't know how you can be a Governor Kay Ivey or a Trent Reeves in Mississippi and just sit there and watch your state get sick and say, "Well, I can't do nothing about it because small government Republican." Beats the hell out of me.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, yeah, Sparky.
It's got something. I want everybody, when you go to the grocery store, thank your grocery store workers for their service.
Yeah, I've been doing that.
I did that yesterday to a clerk. Because I have my Air Force Vietnam veteran hat on when I go to the store. And that made his day.
Yeah, I bet every time I go somewhere, I thank them as well. And as a matter of fact, the cashier, she almost started welling up because just right before me, some woman was yelling at her about something stupid.
Here's a crazy thing. Let's thank them for their service, and then let's gather together and bust our asses to see that they're paid what they're worth.
That part.
How about some health care? Throw that in.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's probably criticism or something, but.
But this whole thing just proves how important Med for All is. You know, like that kid who died in Los Angeles. He couldn't get a health assistant because he had no coverage. I mean, you know, this society has become very cruel. And it's almost like everybody wants to be part of this in-group of wealthy people. And those days are over. We don't have that kind of cash to pass around. It's almost like a social necessity wants us to become socialist. We have no other choice. It's either we have to live in two cities with the rich and the extremely poor. There's no in-between. And it's been going on that way since early days of Reagan, this split of wealth difference.
And all we
that's
to,
all I have to say.
All we have to do is figure out how to manage to vote and throw these bastards out and take their power away from them, and then start pulling an FDR and doing for the American people.
Four freedoms. They should have been done a long, long time ago.
You know, Darlene just pointed out via email from CNBC, U.S. coronavirus cases top 100,000, doubling in 3 days. Oh, my God, the color should be fucking red on the map. This is on them, says Darlene. U.S. confirmed cases yesterday surpassed that of both China and Italy, making us the country with the largest outbreak in the world. And no sign of slowing down. That's the other part we've got to get. It's speeding up.
Hey, Bob, would it be a good idea to dust off the old Tom Ridge terrorism scale, color-coded scale?
Yeah, I don't know because I don't know if I can go and get those colors at my local Sherwin-Williams. I'm not sure if they're an essential business.
Yeah, good point.
One of my problems with that death in Los Angeles of the young guy, according to the Affordable Care Act, he should have been covered under his parents' insurance. So the fact that somebody under 26 doesn't have insurance, there's something more to the story that I don't know what the hell it is.
Well, he went to an urgent care, and they dumped him and told him to go to a public hospital where he would have coverage.
I understand that. But because he said he didn't have insurance under the Affordable Care Act, because he was under 26, if his parents had insurance, which is theoretically mandated under the Affordable Care Act, he would have had insurance. And I don't know the details. I don't know the hows and whys. All I'm saying is there's a little inconsistency in the story that needs to be accounted for.
Well, apparently it was enough, Roger, to thoroughly piss off the mayor.
I have no doubt. The mayor should be pissed off.
On top of the fact, this happened in Lancaster, I believe the closest county hospital to Lancaster is in Sylmar.
Geography's not good enough to know the distances.
It's far, trust and believe, it's not around the corner. Sylmar is basically in L.A. Because Lancaster is part of L.A. County, granted, but it's in the Antelope Valley, whereas Olive View is in San Fernando Valley. And you got to come over the pass. Like you said, his parents, we don't know if he was in foster care. You know, there's a whole lot of things. But the bottom line is, like Bob's, you know, people are assholes. And, you know, whether the Affordable Care Act is mandated and whatnot and so forth, people are going to do what they're going to fucking do. We just had, when they announced about our mayor, Garcetti, who I can't stand, but he's doing a hell of a job anyway. When Garcetti and Newsom had a press conference earlier today about the ship, they were talking about what they're doing to people who are gouging prices. And they're actually going to people's businesses and shutting them the fuck down. I actually got sucked into, I needed alcohol so that I could make hand sanitizers. And these motherfuckers charged $8 for the alcohol. And me said as loud
shit,
as I could.
You mean you can buy alcohol?
Yeah. But they charged $8 for it.
And, I mean, there's not a bottle of isopropyl alcohol to be had in this county.
I was shocked to find it, actually. But I said as loud as I could, are you serious? How dare you? You know that good and damn well that that this alcohol did not cost you $8 a bottle. But, you know, I'm going to do what I have to do and buy it, but don't think I'm not going to report you. Because you know who
me. Straight to the Attorney General's office.
Because you know your chart. Because and I was very upset because they weren't gouging for anything else in the store. You know their produce, everything was even their meat because they have is a butcher as well. And so you're not gouging for your food, but you're gouging for something that, like you said, nobody has anywhere. And I'm like, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
I've noticed from other chat rooms on progressive sites that people are complaining about a 14 to 20% markup on groceries now. And there's a newspaper article here in Portland, Oregon, that Kroger's is just going nuts trying to keep the shelves stocked. People are hoarding like crazy, and nobody's doing anything about it. And that's what's really disconcerting. They finally formed a queue in front of the aisle for toilet paper. You can only take one packet of six rolls. But it's like, people, what's wrong with people? You know, like, there's this kind of this insanity that's going on. And that is making me really nervous. I've noticed I've And I think everybody's suffering from anxiety right now. So I'm trying to figure out what's a good natural thing to take to curb anxiety.
Kava.
I'll leave that.
Kava.
Kava?
Kava.
Okay.
I've gone 7 days without using toilet paper.
What?
What do you use, a corn cob?
No, a shower and a bar of soap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's good, but you have to take a shower every time you want
to. Okay, who said, oh, my God, about a shower and a bar of soap? We're not in the woods, motherfuckers. If you don't got toilet paper, you're in the bathroom, get in the shower like Sparky did and wash your ass. What's the problem?
Yeah, I
or use a leaf, but make sure it's not poison ivy.
I wonder if they're...
I'm only doing that to save all the toilet paper that we got for my wife.
Exactly. Well, you know, hello. It's like...
Women need toilet paper.
My son's the same way. He's like, I'm a man. I don't need toilet paper like you and you know, like Jen and I do. You know? And thank God that we're both I'm not menopausal, but I have an IUD, so I don't have to have I'm not having a period. Because it's just what we have to go through as women. So thank God of that. Because that would be even more toilet paper. You know, I know you guys are like, ew. Girly shit, but how, you know.
That's not here.
It is what it is.
I know everything about Tracy. Having a wife, sisters.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, I am fortunate because I happen to be walking to Smart and Final at the right precise moment that they were bringing out toilet paper. I had to buy a case. I have 48 rolls of toilet paper. And yes, I've been, you know, I gave some away to my neighbor, you know, and then like I went to, the other day I went to Smart and Final and again, they had walked in when they had toilet paper and I bought some more just to have just in case. I'm not hoarding. If I know anybody that needs any, I will gladly give it to them. But, you know, the way things are now, it's gotten to the point, like Bob said, there's no alcohol anywhere. And like I said, so I actually have the bottle of alcohol that I have been using, that I've made my own hand sanitizer with, mixing the alcohol with Witz Hazel. I mean, it's not 100% effective, but it's better than nothing.
Well, I've got a bottle of grain alcohol. Squirreled away that we use in cases of, you know, re-emergency. And I don't mean like, you know, in case I see a snake, I take a swig or any of that shit. No, we're not to the W.C. Fields part of the program yet. Oh, but I have to send out a thank you. We have a friend who prefers to remain anonymous. And I picked up a box of snacks for the apocalypse today. It's awesome. I think it's called Thrive Market, and I just opened a bag of Thai sweet chili banana chips.
Ooh!
Yeah, they're real good. Kind of wonder how they'd go with my pimento cheese. I don't know.
Damn it, the pimento cheese! You just ruined that. Ew.
You haven't tried it, Tracy. Just another reminder as we move toward the third hour of the program, there's a challenge on the table that has been met to the tune of $30. There's 70 to go, and that would go a long way in getting us to a fighting chance to finish the month. So thanks to Ralphs and Kyle for jumping in on Alma's Human Decency Challenge. It is much appreciated, and hopefully we'll knock the rest of it out. And that would, like I said, that'll go a long way.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Sparky.
Somebody is sharing a screen. People are complaining about it in the chat.
It's not
me. I don't necessarily care, but one of their tabs is their banking tab, and that's, you don't want that getting out there, you know?
I don't see it here.
Yeah, I seen it.
It might have been me, guys. How you doing? Might have done it accidentally.
Yeah, you've done that before, Rick.
One of the tabs in the far left was Tracy the cab driver's or something. I don't know if Tracy's accidentally doing it, but if you are, hon, you're one of your.
How do I turn it off? I don't even know what I did.
Yeah, I don't think it. Well, then it possibly wasn't you. One of the tabs was like a Citibank tab. Is that? Do you got a bunch of running tabs in your browser open?
Yeah, but nothing for Citibank.
Oh, okay. Oh. It's the far left, like Tracy the cab driver or something to that effect, or.
Oh.
It's on your screen, down in the right-hand corner, if you got the chat open, it's right next to the heart. There's a little two boxes that says share screen.
Yeah, it's like a square within a square.
Yeah.
And how do you turn it off?
You hover over it. You click on it, and it'll give you the option, two options, to stop sharing, and the other one is to share.
It's gone now, so I don't know. I really don't know who it was. I was just concerned that I don't want anybody's banking information getting out there.
That's best.
Okay, here's a little bit of background on the teen who died. Ron and Raleigh just sent this along. The teen who died may not have had COVID-19. The 17-year-old may not have been positive. He's already been interred. The family doesn't have insurance, and the father is an Uber driver.
Mm.
Yeah, so that fills in a few blanks. And by the way, Ron mentioned something earlier, and I've been meaning to get around to it, because remember that while our country and the world is in the throes of this plague, the evildoers have not stopped doing evil. I don't know if you noticed this, but a couple of days ago, it was announced that Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela, the, elected leader of Venezuela, has been charged and indicted as a narco trafficker by the Department of Justice.
Can you say Manuel Noriega?
I was going to say, see also Manuel Noriega.
Mm-hmm.
So Attorney General Pepe the Frog is trying to create some sort of legalistic bullshit casus belli to go and invade Venezuela.
Jeez.
And on top of that, virtually every environmental regulation has now been tossed out.
Yep.
And they are not prosecuting power plants for pushing mercury or people failing to report they polluted your river or whatever. All of those are gone now.
Yeah, you get a pass. You get a pass on that. Plus, these toxic jackasses have also moved to. Let me find it here. Because this really sucks. They're moving to allow GMO crops in wildlife refuges.
Oh, no. What could go wrong there?
Yeah.
Bob, did you hear about the statement that Barr put out about letting elderly prisoners, federal prisoners, out? It's kind of a setup for Roger Stone getting out of prison. Possibly somebody else.
Well, Harvey.
I saw that on Twitter. What's that?
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein. Yeah, exactly. They're positioning to get him out. Well, he tested for COVID too.
Yeah.
Weinstein. It'd be Michael Cohen.
Well, Michael Cohen's not elderly.
The thing about Harvey is maybe COVID will make his appeal unnecessary. Save the state some money.
Michael Cohen was freaking out. He says, "I'll put an ankle bracelet on me and put me in my apartment. I won't go nowhere."
Oh, man. It's got to be if you're incarcerated, it's got to be terrifying. It's a death sentence.
Yeah,
for Weinstein, it is.
Well, they had riots among prisoners in Colombia because of the fear of the COVID.
Manafort, Stone. Michael Flynn.
Flynn.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Yeah, but all of those assholes were the ones who said the Central Park 5 or something should be thrown up on a death sentence, blah, blah, blah. I feel sorry for the marijuana folk that have been busted that are sitting in a goddamn pen. Not, I don't feel sorry for these super criminals that are there.
No, but, you know, I don't feel sorry for
the exonerated
that
five.
That guy was a total scum.
Correct, the exonerated five.
Yeah.
Oh, but there is a little good news today. It's official. Trish Regan has been fired from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Her coronavirus impeachment scam hissy that I played here on the program was apparently a rant too far for even Fox. So,
oh my God,
she's gone.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if I don't know what's going to become of the makeup artist who apparently hated her guts, but she's gone. So expect her to pop up over at Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, any day now.
So we got another titty blonde out running on the streets that is making $1 million a year. And all of a sudden, she's going to have to get by on $1,200. Fuck her.
Bob, do you watch Onan? Do you go to their website?
No, I value every neuron that if I'm going to kill neurons, I'm going to do it myself.
Well, did you hear about the blow dry? Yeah.
You kill the coronavirus by running your blow dryer up your nose.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the instructional video.
Yeah, I want to do a comic book on that, man. That'd be hilarious.
I'm still waiting to find out that Donald Trump has been caught snorting aquarium cleaner. You know that poor.
Well, no, somebody got
that poor.
You
dude,
know, people
that,
are dying because of his bullshit.
Yeah, that poor dude died, and they interviewed his wife in the hospital, and she said, "Yeah, I mean, he was talking about chloroquine." And I remembered I had some from when I kept koi fish. My husband and I took it to try to make sure we didn't get the coronavirus, like Trump said.
Oh, no.
And she said, please, I will never get over this. Don't ever listen to another word that man says.
And that's his danger. Yeah, Asian people
Who's
are getting
typing?
a hassle after he used the Chinese virus. You know, there was a
Probably
thing on
Rick.
Stephanie Miller this morning. One was talking, an Asian woman was talking about they're getting a lot of calls of abuse and harassment, getting spat on, being yelled at, Asian people. So
yeah,
it's scary
Trump,
out
and
there.
Trump refers to them as Asians. I don't like it. It's got to stop.
Yeah, and you set it up, you jerk. You know, it's like, what?
God, what a piece of shit.
The shit show with Trump just ended. Now,
I can't watch it.
I'm glad
I
can.
Can we let Tracy talk?
Go, Tracy.
No, I was just going to say, speaking of the exonerated five, the bitch that was the lead prosecutor on this case, tried to sue Netflix for, you know, defamation of character and all that other bullshit. Yeah, she lost. They threw the lawsuit out. Like, yeah, bitch. You did what you did, and you just got caught. So, that part.
Gotta own it.
Yeah. You gotta own that shit. Because it's not like it's not like this has been made up. I'm pretty sure that they use court transcripts, documentation. And, oh, by the way, the five young men that lost their lives because of this bullshit, you know, and now she's crying, you know, mostly because she's losing money. Wasn't she like a dean at a law school or, you know, and all these on these different, you know, charity boards and all this. And they kicked her sorry ass to the curb. So yet another, you know, what is it? White women tears. Fuck you. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, so I got a question. We've only got, not only, but Tracy is the lone woman in the group here. But I know Darlene's out there. And we got a lot of women in the Horn Family Community Congregation. I, as a male, am incompetent to opine on this particular topic. but I would appreciate the input, because my first impression was to look at it and say, no, really? I don't know if we know who Ainsley Earhart is. She's the Fox attack blonde du jour on Fox and Fiends every morning. That's why Corona Caligula tunes in. He's hoping for an upskirt, I guess. Well, you know it's
Bob,
true.
Are you sure she's not a pilot? She's not a pilot, is she? Ainsley Earhart?
No. That's a different. No,
she's not she's not related to Amelia.
Well, I don't know. No, but anyway.
Maybe.
So she was deeply upset on the program the other day when she. Well, let me see if I can call up the audio.
Wait, is she the one crying about not being able to get her nails done?
Yeah, that's her.
Do your fucking nails yourself, lady.
She said, this is not a priority, but women have to get their hair done. I saw someone tweet out, you're going to see what real color our hair is, because our roots are going to grow in. All my friends are saying, you know, this is not a priority. People are dying, and I realize that, but they can't get their nails done.
Seriously?
Okay. Ooh, she realizes it.
Yeah, well, good. Okay. Speaking as a woman who goes to get her nails done on a regular basis and unfortunately has not been able to get my nails done, bitch, please. It's like,
I mean, do they still sell nail files and emery boards and?
Okay, and I have acrylics on my nails. I mean, I have an acrylic overlay, so I have to have my nails professionally done. However, because I have common sense and my nails are kind of getting kind of long to the point that it's hard for me to type and stuff, I will be ordering, you know, because I can't use regular nail clippers. I'd have to basically kind of use like the toenail clippers and stuff to clip my nails because of how thick the nail is now. And I have to get a heavy duty emery board. But notice I don't know. Those things might be sold out as well.
You got this, Tracy.
Because of people having to, you know, buy stuff that they don't, you know, and do things at home that they normally don't do. As a matter of fact, Jan tried to order. Are you ready for this? Puzzles are they're sold out of puzzles. You cannot order puzzles on Amazon or any even going to their directly, because she was like, OK, I'm going to do puzzles because we're going to be off of work until at least May. And she couldn't even order puzzles because they're sold out. Who? Puzzles are sold out? So, yes, I got this. I will be cutting my own nails and dealing with that because, it's not as I'm learning how to do my own pedicures and, you know, stuff to do what I need to do. Besides the fact, even once I go back to work, if and when that happens, because I have no idea what's happening, you know, when I do go back to work, hopefully by May. I'm going to be paying. I'm not going to be using that extra, the money that I'm making to go to the nail shop, because I'm going to play catch up for the month or so that I'm going to be off of work. So it's going to probably be a while before, even once, you know, when the great and glorious getting up morning comes and they reopen the nail shops and stuff, it's still going to be a minute before I go back to getting my nails done, unless my wife pays for me to go. Because right now,
yeah, because the line will be halfway. Because the line will be halfway to Rancho Cucamonga, right?
That part is again. It's like it's gonna. Everything is. I mean, I have to say the good news about I accidentally somehow didn't pay a credit card. I don't know how I did that. I thought I did, but I went to call, and of course, you know, you can't get through to any of the credit card companies. And I, you know, they say, "What are you calling for?" And I said, the late payment, for the automated session, do you know they said, okay, on the automation came up saying that we will refund credit your late payment fee. My monthly charges for my, you know, theater tickets, they're suspended. A lot of companies are suspending monthly, you know, automatic monthly payments because they know people can't, you know, they rather suspend the payments and hopes of, you know, once everything starts back up and restart the payments, then for people to out and out cancel their subscriptions.
Banks are getting very forgiving now, and I can attest to that. They double charge. Well, they didn't double charge me. They charged me $85 for a double order of checks, and I called and raised hell, and they just waived the fee. I was shocked.
That's well, okay, first, so you know? So just to back up to the question of the Nails and Ainsley Earhart over at Fox.
Yep.
Fuck her.
Okay, so that's a resounding fuck her. She's a vacuous, vapid,
stupid,
pampered princess. See you next Tuesday. Right?
See you next Tuesday. Yeah.
Is there a fuck you Ainsley Earhart challenge on the table by chance or not?
That's only after Alma's human decency challenge gets met. There's 70 and there's $70 to go on that. So, but I want to wait. This is kind of a thought experiment because I want to see if it changes when I tell you that Bernie's press secretary Brianna Joy Gray, remember her, the one who in 2016. In 2016, made the video and said, "I just voted for Jill motherfucking Stein, motherfuckers." That one. Does it change when we point out that Brianna Joy Gray had also complained that she couldn't get her nails done?
No. Again, no, fuck you.
She can go to hell too. Yeah.
You know, because of again. Get an emery board and some, you know, fingernail polish remover and some, you know, some nail polish and call it a fucking day. Besides the fact, if you're washing your hands as much as you are supposed to be washing your hands, who's going to be able to keep up a decent manicure anyway?
Well, it's called DIY. You know, tough times, you got to do it yourself.
There's that nasty logic getting in the way again.
I stopped dyeing my hair long before this because I started swimming and I'm like, I'm not going to have, you know, color, you know, use, get color in my hair and swim because my hair is very, you know, thinning on top of what have you. So I made the conscious effort to stop dyeing my hair in the first place. But even still, when I did dye my hair, I could do it myself. You know, I dye Jan's hair. I've never, you know, it's like go and order some Clairol or whatever the fuck or L'Oreal and dye your fucking hair yourself, you stupid bitches. Seriously.
Do your own nails, Scarlett.
You know?
Challenge.
Hey, be proud of your gray.
Bob, Steve's trying to get in here and everybody's walking on him. Go ahead, man. Steve.
Hey, you know, I was thinking about, you know, the Ainsley Earhart's comments and the Bernie person. I just thought of the philosopher, what would Forrest Gump say? And it would be stupid is as stupid does.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't matter who says shit. Stupid is stupid. I wanted to say one thing that I unfortunately have to get going because I'm at my office right now. I have to get going shortly. I've been thinking a lot about the testing and the infections and all that and the steep curve in New York and I don't know if it has something to do with my mathematically inclined, statistically inclined mind, which I do have one, and go figure out why I became a lawyer. I don't know why. But
same reason engineers do.
Okay. I actually think this is a good thing, and I'll tell you why it's a good thing. Because it's a good thing because what testing does is gives us data. The bad part of that is we should have been doing this all along, and what we would have found out is what exactly was happening, and we could have had these, you know, shelter in home, et cetera, orders much longer ago. But now that we know this, we can, and I've had this discussion with my partner who is way off the charts on statistics and modeling and all that kind of stuff. You got to have the data so you can begin to see where the clusters are. That's the, you know, it's like, you know, with when a person is sick. You don't begin to treat somebody until you have tests to know what's wrong with them. So in one sense, it's horrible because we're seeing it. In another sense, what we're seeing is what's out there. It's not like, you know, the tests aren't showing us that this many people are being infected every day. What it tells us is those are the people we're finding out every day who are infected and were infected. So I kind of look at this as a mixed thing. I'm not saying it's a good thing by any stretch, but this is how we curb this. So, you know, it's a bit of a silver lining.
Well, can I be a little ray of fucking sunshine, please?
Here we go.
You don't have to ask.
Well, I recognize the correctness of everything you've just said, and I concede it all. Mm-hmm. But the problem we face in this country is that, you know, in a non-dysfunctional United States.
Sorry.
I know. See? if we had started social distancing in late January, early February, and if the shutdown orders had gone out from responsible states like California, Oregon, Washington, New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, you still have to deal with the fact, and this is why I asked the question a couple of nights ago, and maybe we can delve into this a little bit more now. You still have to deal with the fact that the Confederate states are basically weaponizing their illness and making it impossible to flatten the curve, because there's no National Guardsmen at the state line stopping traffic, keeping Mississippians in Mississippi, keeping Texans in Texas, Tennesseans in Tennessee, South Carolinians in South Carolina. And so they're gonna do what they do, and what they have already done. Look at that fever map of little spring breakers leaving Florida, and watch the fevers spike on the smart thermometers all the way up I-75, all the way up I-85, all the way up I-95, up I-65 and I-55 out of the Mississippi and Alabama beaches. Watch it. Watch it fucking burn. So, to a certain extent, by refusing to behave responsibly, the southern states are engaging in attacks on the states that are trying to get it right.
So they're going to continue this pandemic until fall. It's just going to go on and on. And that's the worst aspect of this. This could be 8 months, could be 9 months.
We're talking
until Jesus comes back.
We're talking about bodies piling up. Okay, there are places where they're using refrigerator trucks as temporary morgues.
Yeah, ice skating rinks.
Yeah.
Hey, to be the guy that owns the red plastic bag industry, boy, he's making out.
Frozen truck industry. It's like 1918, man. This is like the Spanish flu. This is like the pandemic that hits once every 100 years. You know, if these idiots would study what happened to the United States and to the world during the Spanish flu, they'd be clamping down, because this could happen. And back then, they didn't have ventilators. People died in mass. There were stories of people dying in a small Alberta town when the soldiers came home from World War One. They found all their family members dead inside. Mm-hmm. You know.
Ew.
Well, look, I know. You know, our buddy Jim in Spain can probably speak to this at some point. Maybe he'll reach out on Facebook, but or something like that. But I read over the course of the past week of. elderly care nursing homes that had been found abandoned with bodies inside.
That's right. I read that. Yeah. Yeah.
And meanwhile, in Florida, Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, the governor there, who was elected with the connivance of real live, no kidding Nazis, is suppressing the data on who has what in which nursing homes. And Florida will eventually pass New York in terms of being the crisis center of this pandemic.
Yeah, but then that asshole in Florida went and said, oh, my God, we can't have people coming down here from New York and New Jersey because they might contaminate Florida. But he didn't keep all those spring breakers down in Florida instead of sending them back up to New Jersey and New York.
Yeah, he wants everybody. Shit. He wants incomers to Florida to be in quarantine for 2 weeks. But he keeps the beaches open. He keeps the beaches open. But the guy that really ticks me off is this Mississippi governor, this Tate guy. I mean, I cannot believe that position. Also, Roy Moore came out and said it's our divine right to have services. We need to keep the churches open. I'm going, my God. And he's talking about tyranny. This is tyranny. Oh, no. You know,
I was chatting with a teacher at Oregon State, I think it is, up in Corvallis. Right. And one of the decisions made by the administration in the university in Corvallis of going to online was that they were fearful for all the students coming back from spring break and bringing COVID-19 from around, in essence, the Pacific Northwest back to Corvallis. And then there's Humboldt State in Arcata, California, particularly because of their outreach for underprivileged students, provided transportation for several students to particularly the San Francisco Bay Area and the L.A. area. And then they got them all down there, and they figured these students were kind of in poverty and all the rest of it. So they sent out buses down to L.A. and San Francisco to provide transportation back to Arcata, California, for those students who had gone on spring break on the university's dime to go home for spring break. They're using the university's dime to bring them back into Humboldt County in California. And that is just simply fucking insane in my brain.
The spring breakers for Oregon used to come down to Lake Shasta.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. But that, as I was saying, that's one of the reasons that U of O and Oregon State University, whatever, the Eugene and Corvallis campuses, I know they're different, blah, blah, blah. I just haven't got all that.
Yeah, Oregon State. Yeah.
But both of them have gone to zero personal contact classes and 100% online to the absolute best of their ability is because they didn't want to bring COVID-19 back to their respective areas. Oh, and here's Humboldt providing busing to bring people back into Humboldt County, which already has a shortage of hospital beds.
Well, all I can say is don't come to Tama County.
Yeah. Yeah. Bob, let me share a quick note from Darlene, Connecticut. She said, going back to Ainsley Airhead, that was good. I'm not a good person to ask that question. You're talking to a woman with a noticeable disability. Ain't no one going to notice my nails or my hair first. Besides, getting myself primped and pretty to not leave the house in honor of social distancing seems like a waste of time and is really the least of my worries right now. I'm still trying to find TP and HTP. Maybe Ainsley was trying to be funny? Not. Wonder what she's using for TP and HTP. I won't dwell on it for too long. Yuck. Gotta get ready to ring a bell. My town is asking all of us to go out onto our front decks, porches, and lawns every Friday night to ring a bell from 8 to 8.02 p.m. to show solidarity that we're all in this together until this crisis is over. So I got to go and find a bell somewhere.
your cowbell, Bob.
If you'd only given me some advance warning, Darlene. I just happened to have a spare cowbell here. That was the road cowbell.
Oh, that's one you had in Alabama.
Yeah, I didn't want to risk my antique cowbell courtesy of Sparky.
You better not let that leave your house.
No, you're damn right. It doesn't leave the room.
Can I ask you a question? I've never been to the South, so what's Alabama?
What's that?
I've never been to Alabama. What's it like? I start to laugh.
It's beautiful.
There are aspects of it that are beautiful. Yeah. And there are aspects of it that are unlike anywhere else. And then there's the part of Alabama that's Mississippi goddamn.
Yeah, but why is it that Alabama has this really funny reputation that nobody wants to go down there because they're afraid they're going to get attacked by some crazy?
That's not general. My God, mm-hmm. The tourism industry down at Gulf Shores is huge.
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
The casino, they got a casino there.
No, just because it's
the water sports and stuff.
And the beaches look like domino sugar.
Yeah, white sand.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
not that sort of khaki tan kind of pebbly. No, this stuff's like domino sugar. It's like powder and it's glaringly, blindingly white, which is not, you know, in a way is kind of apropos of Alabama when you get down to it.
yeah. Well, I didn't want to use the term white trash, but that's the kind of feeling you get when people talk about Alabama.
You just have to know the history of the settlement patterns is all. That's all there is to it. But Christopher was asking something earlier when I interrupted.
Oh, I just wanted to pile on to Precious Ainsley. You know, she better watch her ass. If she keeps crying on that couch too much, they're going to throw her back into Rush Limbaugh's pit.
Nah, okay. you get a modest jingle for that, Chris.
So I just saw a news report on the news about how air traffic is down 85% at LAX.
Wow. I'm surprised it's not down 95%. I don't know who the hell want to fly now, Tracy.
I'm telling you.
Think of all the fewer carbons that are going to the atmosphere during this lull. There was a satellite picture of Italy, and Italy was clear as day, you know.
Driving. The air is so beautiful, right? I mean, when I go for my walks, oh, my God.
LA, we're like on our third straight week of, like, having totally clean air here in L.A. There was an article Tracy posted on Facebook about that. Beautiful picture of the downtown area.
LA of the 1910s, you know, before autos really took over.
Yeah.
And that's the air you got. Yeah.
I mean, it is, I have, like I said, when I go for my walks, the air and, you know, and just the fact that I'm walking down, you know, when I go to, you know, for those of you who know about Ventura Boulevard, Rick, I mean, you could damn near shoot a cannon down Ventura Boulevard, you know.
Where the days are longer and the nights are stronger than moonshine. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's Ventura Boulevard, or Ventura Freeway, Bob.
Oh, the
Ventura Highway, they call it.
Yeah.
The old parts of L.A. are really cool around, like, Santa Monica, or you drive up the coast there. There's some really neat areas there, and it's fun to look at old silent films and figure out where they shot them, what parts of L.A.
That's one of my greatest thrills when I'm watching it's kind of I've turned it in kind of to a hobby when I'm watching shows that are filmed here in LA, and you know, one minute they're in Santa Monica and the next minute they're in, you know, Hollywood. I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. I mean, I spend
yeah.
you know, come on. And it's like, you know, the majority is like, because I've lived here, not only have I lived here all my life, I'm a cab driver, so I know the city, you know, pretty damn well. So it's like, yeah, that's not happening. And no, this company would, you know, like when I'm watching some stupid show and it's, you know, it's supposed to be Los Angeles, LAPD or LA Fire Department, and they're doing stuff in Santa Monica or different. I'm like, would not be happening. They have, you know, each of these cities have their own fire department. And I start yelling about it. And Jan looks at me like, why are you getting so upset? I'm like, it's because this is representing my city and I want it represented correctly. Damn it.
Sue for fraud, Tracy.
Yeah, no, this is not that serious. it's not that serious. I got better things to do.
Well, you know, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering, you know, since we do have, time on our hands, is anybody doing anything that, you know, that they wouldn't normally have time to do now? Like, you know, is anybody reading more? Are we keeping in touch with our families more? Stuff like that, you know, because everybody's always, oh, I'm so busy, I have to do
this. I'm going to dress and drag, but I can't find a place to get my nails done.
Damn it,
God, wait a minute, Joe. Okay, hang on. You earned that one.
Thanks.
Yeah, that was quality.
Joe, just get some Lee Crest on nails. Do they still make those?
No, I thought those. Tracy, wait a minute, I thought those were clap-on nails. Never mind.
Hey, Tracy, and instead of a 45-minute walk with my dog, it's really kind of turned into 2 hours. Although the weather was gorgeous here in Portland for a few weeks while this was going on, but it's made a turn for the worse this week. So it hasn't been so nice to take those long walks. But yeah, Inga's been the beneficiary of the COVID.
Well, I can tell you this is the second straight day of Naked Radio. It was beautiful again today. And tomorrow's going to get up to 82. And early tomorrow, I'm going to get up and get the fire going in the acorn. And by this time tomorrow evening, we should be having pulled pork barbecue sandwiches.
Nice.
Yum.
And wonderful. Because it's been the butts have been in the brine 2.5 days now.
Oh hell.
And I our buddy Dr. John, back when I was in Alabama, sent me a care package of all kinds of different dried chilies. And so my brine for this, you know, it's the salt, of course. But it's got Peking chilies in it, Cascabel chilies in it, anchos. I mean, and then a handful, because I've been very, very careful with them. Downright penurious. Some Szechuan peppercorns that Asa sent me a while back, and garlic and onion, and it's all just soaking for 2.5 days. It's just been the salt has been picking up all those flavors and carrying them bone deep into those butts, and it ought to be magic. But as far as changing my routine, It's kind of weird. I wasn't a social butterfly to begin with. It's like I said the other night. You know, I used to look forward to Friday nights and popping over to the Grove and just hearing whoever it was that Lewis had booked. Whatever the genre be. And that ain't happening now. So, I mean, I don't have more time on my hands. I'm still doing the very same thing I've been doing for the last 16 plus years, and that is getting up in the morning and starting to absorb information and look for patterns and find things that are worth talking about and casting off the dross. And so, you know, apart from going down into the settlements for provisions, and making sure that we got enough water and essentials on hand. Yeah, not a lot of difference. But I do have a new book to read, and I'm excited about that.
No difference here either, Bob.
I do have a new book to read, and I'm excited about that. Suman sent it along to me. It's called The Anarchy, and it's a history of the oppression and excesses and brutality of the East India Company in India. And that ought to be a dandy.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. Yeah, well, it looks like Orange County is topping off what's at, it looks like, if I'm seeing this right, looks like the five, the most COVID-19 cases in Southern California looks like to be in Orange County.
Oh, that's lovely. That's where I'm staying here.
Oh, no.
At Star's place. Yeah.
Well, that's why I made the orange curtain in the first place.
Get out.
Hey, you know, there's also been another, good thing for people. It's one of those silver lining things for dog owners. Since people are home more, the dogs, our puppies are just incredibly happy. Did you guys hear about the puppy that was wagging his tail so much that he sprained his tail?
No,
that's a real thing. That is a real thing that can happen. It happens a lot to Labrador Retrievers and Golden Retrievers because they're just such happy people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you about Grady, the canine rototiller?
Huh? What did Grady do? Oh God, did he
fell? He's got my garden area. I mean, he went round and round in circles in there today, just digging, looking for gophers. And he had the German Shepherd next door at the fence, the cyclone fence, barking at him, and he wouldn't even raise his head out. It's nothing but his ass sticking up in the air and his head way down underneath the ground. And Destiny's a German Shepherd's dog. Now they're... She's laying at the fence, and he's way out back by the back fence. And they keep looking at each other.
Funny.
Now, if I get a ball and throw it at where the German Shepherd is, Grady will come streaking from. Now watch. I'll give you a little experiment. Maybe you can hear it. I'm going to throw a rubber ball at the German Shepherd. Here he comes. Here he comes. Can you hear him barking?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the two little dogs come running out. And Grady's bringing the ball back to his bed in here.
Oh, what a good boy. Well, apparently we did miss something by not taking... Any audio from the afternoon shit show. Joe Walsh, you know, the former member of the House, Republican, hardcore right winger, lost his shit on Twitter today after the shit show. I mean, I thought we did a pretty good job with fuck Trump. And by the way, speaking of fuck Trump, 26 minutes to go
just,
in the program, and
we just ended on YouTube.
We got about 70. We got 70 bucks to go to finish Alma's challenge. Please don't leave that laying on the table. Joe Walsh tweeted, "Fuck Trump!" All caps. Fuck. Fuck Trump. 30 to 40 minutes into this stupid briefing, and not one fucking word from him about all the Americans who are sick and dying. Not one fucking word. He doesn't give a fuck about the Americans who've been killed by this virus. Every fucking word is about him. Fuck Trump. I don't know about you, but I'm impressed.
You know who he had standing behind him today, Bob?
No, who?
The Secretary of Education on one side and the Secretary of Agriculture on the other. I couldn't listen to anything, any of it, because I can't hear nothing when I'm doing the Skype thing. Off a regular tab or anything I bring up.
Well, in the shit show, among other things, his latest lie is to say, we sent New York thousands of ventilators, but they didn't even realize they received them. They didn't know they got them.
It's crazy horse shit.
Yeah. And then there was he flipped out at an ABC reporter. Asked, let's not do that to people. Jonathan Carl, who's not exactly some sort of wild-eyed liberal, said, so everybody who needs a ventilator will be able to get one? Look, don't be a cutie pie. Everyone who needs one. Nobody's ever done what we've done. Nobody's done anything like what we've been able to do. Everything I took over was a mess. It was a broken country. Don't be a cutie pie.
Oh, man. He's Did he blame Obama?
It's all Obama's fault.
Blame Obama.
This is a broken country. And it reminds me of something that... if the email will cooperate. Cynthia wrote in a little bit ago and said, I just dropped in. David K. Johnston has followed Trump for decades and has suggested in some of his YouTube videos that Trump has been guilty of money laundering for cocaine trafficking. I wouldn't be in the least surprised if that is true. Would you? No, I wouldn't. And see, that's part of that don't be a cutie pie. He talks like a mobster because it has always been his fantasy, his ambition to be a mobster. Don't be a cutie pie. Oh, and Darlene lets us know pet adoptions have skyrocketed lately.
Oh.
That's good. Oh.
The local ASPCA, whatever, the local pet shelters were asking here in Oregon for people to foster animals because they're trying not to have their volunteers come in to do the feedings and all that kind of stuff. So it's not apparently not happening in Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah, they're asking the people to foster out here as well. And as I told, you know, because I do not want another dog because Kimba's enough. And I was, you know, almost thinking about maybe sort of kind of almost thought about it. But I said, hell no, because, you know, once the dog got here, you know, more than likely Jan would say, oh, well, you know, he's here and we could keep it. And I'm like, fuck, no, no. I'm an awful person, I know, but hey, I am who I am. I can't even imagine having another dog because I can't. You guys have heard Kimba lose her shit. And I'm like, no, we can't. Yeah, that just won't work. But God bless all those people who will do it because I think that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, ditto here, on Tracy. Another note, no.
On another note, I inherited Grady.
On another note, I got a call from the local VA clinic here in Eugene asking me to switch my doctor's appointment next Friday to a telephone consult, which is just a 6-month routine bullshit number. But I said, well, you know, what about going in to get my blood test? Please stay away from the clinic. And if it's routine and a blood test and you're not going to have blood test results to talk with the doctor about, we're just going to cancel this sucker for another 6 months. Jesus. So my VA appointment has been postponed from next Friday to 6 months because apparently the local VA is not wanting to set up scheduled appointments. But I was told if anything comes up, don't hesitate to come in, but stay away from us. Because we're trying to keep everything, you know, distancing, da 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 da.
Sure, that's just common sense, you know, in everyday life as we know it now.
Well,
I'm not bad mouthing the VA for what they
I'm not either.
Darlene turned me on to, and I had also just read an article a day or so ago that talked about how the overall practice of medicine is changing. That things that a doctor would routinely say, for instance, you know, he gets a brain scan back and cites in the article, a 21-year-old woman who has classic symptoms of the onset of MS. And, you know, ordinarily he would admit her, send her upstairs. There'd be a battery of testing. The neurologist would get involved. And he said, I sent her home. And I explained, you know, you need to go home until this passes so that I can make sure that we don't sicken you in an already compromised situation. And he said, you know, elective surgeries, all canceled. Anything that can be put off is put off. Not because they don't want to do it, but because the presence of the virus and the inability to prevent its spread make being in any healthcare facility a dangerous proposition.
Sure. Absolutely.
Wait a minute. You mean no boot jobs?
You got a torn ACL, just live with it, you know?
Well, you know, I mean, since all the studios are shut down right now, Tracy, it'll be like the nails, you know, the line at the plastics, when everything gets back to normal, the line at the plastic surgeon will be halfway to Cucamonga.
It's going to, well, I mean, that's, hear about that's the, another reason why I haven't really been running for that, there's a recovery run, tempo run, speed runs. And so I've been mostly doing, if I do any kind of a run, is a recovery run, because so I won't injure myself, because again, I'm not trying to go to the doctor and I'm not trying to do anything that might hurt myself. As a matter of fact, Jan's kidney doctor called her because she has because of the medication that she's on, that they need to do a blood test. And it is crucial that they do it. But instead of her going to Kaiser, because, again, my wife is 66 years old, they're sending a tech here to take her blood.
Well, this circles back to what Otto and I were discussing last night. I mean, what if you do if you're at, you know, you could fall in the shower and break a leg or something, go to YouTube and learn how to set it yourself. I mean, we're kind of on our own here, folks, you know, seriously.
Well, I think if you break your leg, you can go to the doctor.
I would hope so, Tracy, but I mean, it's just like Bob just said, are you opening yourself up to getting, you know, infected? Yeah, I'm sure the chances skyrocket, you know.
I mean, they're not going to send a stroke home. They're not going to send a myocardial infarction home.
Right.
But if it's anything that can be put off or dealt with later or dealt with remotely, they are going to do that. And by the way, I don't know how this does, and Billable Rick can maybe jump in on this. I don't know how this doesn't wind up being a lawsuit. One of the other things we missed by not taking the shit show today was this.
So I say, Mike, don't call the governor of Washington. You're wasting your time with him. Don't call the woman in Michigan. If they don't treat you right, I don't call.
So he's you don't hear about it a lot, but there's something out there called tortious interference with business relationships.
Interesting.
Yeah, Bob, do you know what the take is on abortion clinics in the South? Are they closing them because of the it's not an essential service? Or
Texas tried that shit. But the thing is, Planned Parenthood doesn't just do abortions. Pap smears are essential, are medically essential.
Absolutely.
Right.
Mammograms are essential. I mean, hell, there are some Planned Parenthoods that perform prostate screenings on men.
Yep. Testing for sexually transmitted diseases, you know.
Diseases, yeah.
Cervical cancer, STDs. All that sort of stuff. They need to be open. These bastards, God, I can't stand
well, motherfucker. I'm at the age where my prostate needs to be checked. My father died of prostate cancer, and, you know, there are times when I'm urinating, I'm wondering, hey, hello.
Is this ever going to end?
Down there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
rock out with your cock out. Nothing's happening, right? Been there.
No, it's the slow boat down the Yangtze River is what
I'm
it
not
is.
Making it up.
It doesn't
bubbles.
Seem to. It's not coming to shore.
Lord.
I forgot. I'm sorry I brought that up.
Look, since I'm never gonna be married to a man, these things I need to, I'm like, I want no shit about this.
I turned 65. I've turned 65 in February. I'm on Advantage Medicare, and it's bullshit. I don't know who my doctor is, and I get this little ID card and it has my doctor's name on it.
Wait a minute. Did you do a managed care plan?
Yeah, I did. And the reason why is I looked at the other care plans and I was so damn confused. And you can always change your plan during the open enrollment that starts in December of this year.
But
so
once you switched over to Medicare Advantage, you fucked yourself.
Really?
Yes, you have.
You can't get back on Medicare.
Yes, you can. I did.
I took this plan because I need a dental plan. My dentistry is really important to me. You keep your mouth clean. You can keep your heart and your cardiovascular system clean. The dentistry is where it all starts. So for good health. But I've been trying to detox this past year, and I lost 20 pounds of fat. And I'm like a total health nut now, I tell you. But I'm finding that. I quit all my antidepressants, and I found that exercise is the best antidepressant, along with avoiding sugars, eating right, low-carb diet or no-carb diet, lots of veggies. I avoid meats. I don't eat porks, and I don't eat red meats. But I feel great, and I have really good dreams. My only issues right now is I've noticed I'm a coffee addict. I drink like 5 cups a day, man.
Well, and just to be clear, that's working for you, Otto.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean it would work for everybody.
True, true. I know. And a lot of people like potatoes. I love potatoes. I love carbs, but I got rid of my addiction to it. I was 268 pounds. I'm now 223.
Look at you.
So, yeah, I hate having that gut, that old white male gut. You look like a pear, and it just every time I go in the bathroom, I grab my gut, and I go, God, I still have another 5-6 pounds of fat to lose. And when you get to a certain age, your metabolism just turns to a crawling stop. It just doesn't go anywhere. But I'm 65, and I got a body, I think, of about a 52, 53-year-old. So,
keep it in a freezer in the basement, do you?
Yep. That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I read about that guy Kuklinski, the Iceman. He kept his bodies in his freezer in the basement. One of the more interesting hitmen for the mob.
Oh, that was a cool movie. Did you watch? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that guy who played him, Michael Shannon. Was it Michael Shannon?
I think it is Michael Shannon.
HBO did a series of interviews with the real guy, and he. Talk about psychopath. This is the guy who would love to work for Trump. Yeah, I'll do your heavy labor.
I'll paint a house for you. You know.
Yeah.
Here's something that'll make you go out the door, eat dirt, and run rabbits. Dave in South Carolina just hipped us to this. So we know that Corona Caligula signed the relief bill today, right?
Yes.
And it had its problems, but, even Bernie voted for it. Because sometimes you got to give in order to get. And AOC voted for it. The squad voted for it, I think. Well, it reached COVID Caligula's desk. And he gave us one of those signing statements. And his signing statement says that he will override the provision in the bill that requires the creation of an inspector general to report to Congress anytime agencies refuse to give him or her requested info. So he's going to blow off the inspector general as it regards the slush fund.
Well, wait a second. Is that a line item veto?
No.
So he's just going to give away the money,
and he will, by God, not report where the money goes.
But isn't the inspector general piece, that wasn't that part of the bill?
Well, he has to make appoint the inspector general, doesn't he?
I guess.
Yeah.
$500 billion slush fund is a $500 billion slush fund, and fuck Congress for trying to figure out where the money goes.
Right, and he will, by God, take as much of it as he wants, because precious princess Iwankamadaddy Trump Kushner wants it all.
Well, but wait a minute. What about the provision in that bill that said no member of the government can get anything in their pocket from this bill?
Well, if you don't have an inspector general to find out if that happened, how are you going to find that out?
Yeah, that's one thing, Bob, and there's back doors in there, because you can have it doesn't stipulate anything about the members of Congress or the cabinet or the judiciary who would have minority stakes in companies, right? So if he's got a minority ownership in, let's say, a cruise Princess, for example, or Carnival, that they're going to get a shitload of that money, and so it's going to trickle into his pocket eventually.
Very likely.
But see, I see no fucking reason why any goddamn cruise line should get any fucking money at all. I mean, I realize...
No, Roger, right there with you. Let them get it from Panama or Liberia. No, but... Or the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
There's a provision in there that they have to reflag.
I really don't care. The fact is that when I sailed from New York City to Southampton, England in 1959 on the SS United States, ocean liners were transportation.
Right.
Today's ocean liners are simply fucking recreation.
They're carnival rides.
The National Forest Service can shut down all the campgrounds all over the national forest lands in Northern California because a campground with a flush toilet and water available in the campground is not essential. And this has been going on for almost 20 years, shutting all those fuckers down because that's recreation and it's not necessary to the function of the government, the United States, the people, et cetera. So we're shutting them down. A cruise ship that goes from San Diego to Ensenada back to San Diego for a 3-day go out and party on the ocean, that is not essential bullshit. The hospitals that are taking care of people and the food banks that are feeding the poor people, those are essential. The cruise lines are not essential in any way, shape, or form. And fuck them.
Yeah.
Now, the whole idea was at one time that the way to make money in America is to use somebody else's money, and then you play with it a little bit, and you pay the bank some, but you keep a bunch. And so everything is leveraged to the max. Fine. You're a cruise ship line. You're leveraged to the max. You have no ability to borrow money against your assets because it's already encumbered. Fine. Fail. Because when people invested in capitalism, the amount of return you got was dependent upon the amount of risk you took. Folks, you've been getting your money. You assumed the risk. The risk has come due. Pay the piper and go fucking bankrupt. I'm sorry.
Did you watch the Bill Maher's take on cruise liners? It was pretty funny. He says they pollute. They just dump their trash. You know, they're like floating cities, and they just dump all their crap in the oceans. You know, it's like, why would anybody want to go on a cruise liner and be stuck on a ship? Anything can happen.
You would have to pay me to want to go on a cruise line. That's insane, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even under best of circumstances, those places are crawling with like noroviruses and intestinal bugs and everything else, you know? It has no appeal to me, cruise ships.
Oh, and speaking of which, just got a note from Ralphs. She says, my mom's in the hospital, probably with diverticulitis. I really didn't know what it was until I looked it up. Hopefully she'll get out and back home soon. We will be rooting for you and for her, Ralphs. And hopefully she will be home very, very soon, and that they will keep her away from anything bad, nasty, contagious. And that will be our fondest wish. So give her our best regards, please, Ralphs. Please do.
Absolutely. Yep. And if you have stomach issues, as Bob informed me, staying well hydrated is extremely effective. So that might, you know, help prevent, keep you out of having to go to the damn hospital.
And another tip, too, is don't smoke and don't take any Advil. Because there's an association between taking Advil and dying if you get the coronavirus. That's what I've heard anyway.
No, that was out there early. And they pulled back on that big time, yeah.
Oh, they did?
Well, yeah, because there are people, I'm one of them, for whom acetaminophen doesn't do shit for aches, pains, or a fever. All acetaminophen does is rot your liver.
You don't want to have lupus, right? Have you heard about the lupus people? They can't get their medication for lupus? Because
if they're on the
bad news.
My ex has lupus of the scalp, and she takes that. She takes the hydroxyquinine or whatever that's called. Not quinine.
Malaria drug.
Yeah. And she can't get a refill of it.
Right. And it's a brutally dangerous drug. You only take it under close supervision of a physician. By the way, more breaking news, courtesy of David in South Carolina, Stan. The New York Times, this from Seth Abramson. The New York Times has revealed that there are minor outbreaks as measured by cases per 1,000 residents in metro areas where we never would have imagined, including Haley, Idaho, Huron, South Dakota, Heber, Utah, Arkadelphia, Arkansas, Clarksdale, Mississippi, Albany, Georgia, Ketchikan, Alaska, and Greensburg, Indiana. All of those, of course, blood red states.
Welcome.
Well, the problem with it's all well and good to say fuck them. The problem is there's still people who live in these red states that aren't Republicans, so they're suffering. Yeah. Even you know they're suffering the consequences of living in states where they have no control over what's going on. So
they'll become victims of their stupidity, and that's what ticks me off about these people.
You know, for the people who aren't stupid, but have to, you know, that are unfortunate to live in, you know, these states,
right,
where, you know, and it sucks because
right. and Tracy, they may not even be unfortunate. They may be very happy there, because as I've pointed out,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I say unfortunate, I mean, because of the politics of that state.
Right. Right.
I mean, you love your state. You love where you grew up and all this. And, you know, it's like I feel bad for people like who live in Texas, who love where they live. I know John Bridival, I'm pretty sure he loves where he lives, but unfortunately is in fucking Texas.
Right.
And so,
it goes back to what I've said for ages. You know, to be a progressive in South Carolina, to be a progressive in Alabama, in Mississippi, in Texas, is to be a progressive with, you know, with a bullseye on you. It takes a lot of guts to stand up in the middle of Alabama and say fuck Trump. It's a lot easier to say fuck Trump in Alabama, or a lot harder to say fuck Trump in Alabama than it is, to be fair, in the blue civilized states. And so, yeah, you can't just go fuck them when these places catch fire. Now, is there an upside to this? I mean, not really an upside. The one thing that has to be borne in mind is that Democrats, liberals, progressives tend to be taking all of this far more seriously than the maggots are. For instance, and lo and behold, this comes out of California. It was a couple of weeks back, and Susan Brooks was having her 70th birthday party on March 8th at the golf club at Rancho Palos Verdes. This is a Trump property. Susan Brooks used to be the city's mayor of Rancho Palos Verdes. And they invited all kinds of people to come to the, you know, come to the Maggot Golf Club to celebrate her birthday. Well, now the people who went to her birthday at the Maggot Golf Club and went to a disco party there, you know, for the birthday, have the coronavirus. And so...
Anybody know where that is?
No, but I mean, so,
yeah. What, Rancho Palos Verdes?
Yes. Tracy and I know.
Well, actually, it's right. Trump is right down the street from where Jen and I got married. As a matter of fact, if anybody in because the resort, I'm sorry, that's not well. We got married in Rancho Palos Verdes, and so was our reception at Terranea. And if anybody that was at staying at Terranea wanted to play golf, they could play at Trump International, whatever, because they didn't, you know, they didn't have a golf course. So it's a beautiful part of it's a gorgeous, very expensive, very exclusive part of Los Angeles in the South Bay. And yeah, when I heard about that, I'm like, why was anybody? This happened before the shutdowns and stuff, but still, I mean, I have a friend who had her birthday party, even though I kept telling her, you know, you really should cancel your birthday party.
Well, the thing is, she reached out to she reached out to a woman named Janice Hahn, who is the LA County supervisor, you know, because of course she's got a dear friend who's the county supervisor. And she asked she asked Janice Hahn, should we shut this down? And Janice Hahn told her, send a strongly worded email warning guests to stay home if they feel ill. And so when they had the party and Janice Hahn was there, she said the other guests didn't seem to give much of a damn about the advisory to even then avoid contact. So among other things, they passed around one microphone from person to person to person as they all toasted septuagenarian Susan Brooks. And then Janice Hahn said she thought they went out of their way to shake hands and hug. And she's quoted saying, it was, oh, this is media pollution. You're overblowing this. I remember going home that night feeling a little bit ashamed. And so she had to send out, Susan Brooks did, the birthday girl, the maggot. She had to send out another urgent email a week later when one of the guests there tested positive for the coronavirus and the hostess and four others, including the mayor of Rancho Palos Verdes, have tested positive.
No.
Well, you know, Bob, I was kind of one of those, I took it seriously, but not seriously enough, because I remember you fussing at me about, you know, going to see Hamilton and going to Vegas. And, to be honest, I was still going to go, you know, because I got the emails from the Pantages Theater saying that they, you know, that they have wiped down everything. Everything was fine. We're going to on with the show. And then our governor, Gavin Newsom, said that day, that's when he went on, because my tickets were for the 12th of March. That's when Gavin Newsom went on, you know, TV and said, you know, we're shutting the that wasn't exactly when it was strongly suggested that people start really practicing, you know, social distancing and anything. You know, at that point, it was
you know, anything over 250 people or 50 people or whatever, I don't remember. And within an hour of that announcement, they just, you know, Pantages canceled Hamilton that night and, you know, up until forever. But, you know, I was like, I'm fine. Everything is fine. I'm going to go. And I kept hearing you going, you know, if you could have said, bitch, please.
Yeah, I ain't going to do that.
I know that. Or even better, Ginger, please, you know, stay your happy ass at home. But I was very determined to see, and then also Vegas. Now, Vegas, I actually recanceled our trip before they shut down Vegas. But even I was still, you know, debating, you know, for a while to go to Vegas as well. And I'm like, you know, again, it was stupid. And, you know, but well, again, I have a 66 year old wife, so I have to be extra careful about what I do and what and how I interact.
And see, here's another example. And by the way, we're over time, so I'm going to wrap things up pretty quick. Here's another example of Republicans not taking it seriously. There's a retirement community in Florida. It's huge. 50,000 people. It's called the Villages.
Oh, the Villages. The Villages, yeah.
And so now they're experiencing community spread.
Great.
And 29 people in Sumter County have tested positive for the virus as of today. At least 5 residents of the Villages have contracted it. And last week, the Villages became one of the first places that Ron Monkey Up DeClantis sent a 250-bed mobile hospital from the Florida Division of Emergency Services.
Hey, Bob, my in-laws live down there, and my asshole father-in-law is a total fucking Republican. So fuck him.
Well, again,
that's the spirit, Joe.
I get that, Joe.
Oh, no.
But there's no way to make sure that there's no way to make sure that they only fuck each other.
That part.
Well, okay, the Palos Verdes story.
His wife is a Democrat. They won't be fucking too much.
The Palos Verdes story struck a chord with our dear friend Jude in the Great Northwest. She said, I went to Palos Verdes High School. I graduated in 1966, close to the old Marine Land. Wow.
Ooh, yeah. Marine Land was really cool. I missed that place.
Yeah,
I'm watching the news, and you know how they just showed, you know, Tangri Tiberius signing the bill. Now, all these motherfuckers were standing right behind him, Mnuchin, McConnell, and some other people, white men that I don't recognize. This asshole used the pen that he signed. Now, and then he's handing a pen to each person standing behind him. Oh, my God. First of all, they were right on top of each other. And he's handing the pens to people, and they're like handing and going.
Oh, right. And he deliberately snubbed Nancy Pelosi. But if you're Nancy Pelosi, you're like, no, it's okay. I'm okay not being there.
I'm good.
Those guys corona together, you know?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, for anybody coming up on 65, Randy with a note, this is important. You want a PPO, not an HMO. Medicare Advantage Part C is almost to a T an HMO. In a PPO, you don't have to get pre-approvals, and you don't have to be in-network. In an HMO, you do. There have been cases wherein a Lifeline helicopter has been required, and people with HMOs get an $11,000 surprise medical bill.
Well, that's why I avoided Kaiser. They're an HMO. So I'm in a PPO. Is Advantage include the PPO?
No. Usually, no. That's so I blew it.
Then.
No, you didn't. Oh, well. You know, because I was going to do the same thing. I actually joined Advantage because I was the same way. It was about dental. They have dental, vision, and all sorts of stuff. I got what I needed from the plan, and then as soon as I got what I needed, I got out of it and went back to regular Medicare.
Oh, okay.
Well, then I'll take that advice and I'll change when there's another enrollment next year or next December.
Get everything out of it that you need. If you need glasses, if you need dental, which is ridiculous that that shit isn't covered in Medicare any fucking way.
Well, what drives me nuts are the menus, and you can't pay a bill. I'm paying for an enhanced dental plan, so I don't have to pay all these deductibles. But I try to go on the site and try to put log in and whatnot, and it's like the tech side of it is pathetic. It's Providence Advantage, and so but we'll see. But I'm so healthy. All I need are two prescriptions right now for my heart. That's it. I don't have a lot of other problems. I got rid of the weight, so I don't have to worry about a stroke. And so I'm measuring my my blood pressure. That's one thing you have to worry about as you age, is your blood pressure. And people don't do that. It's the silent killer, especially among the obese.
Well, and if you're getting good exercise and you continue to shed the weight, Otto.
Yeah.
There is, I mean, if you take blood pressure medicine, whatever, that's cool. Don't stop. Mm-hmm. But the more exercise you get, everything I've read, because I deal with it too, I have since I was 30. The more exercise you get, the better your blood pressure is going to be.
Exactly. But also I'm detoxing. And I think that's making me anxious, or gives me the anxiety, because I'm kicking out all these toxins I've been carrying around with me for the past 40 years when I started getting fat.
Well, that's going to bring things to a close. If y'all want to stick around and chat, you're more than welcome to. I've got to get started on the upload and do all the post show stuff. We're going to close with $70 remaining. We're going to close with $70 remaining on Alma's challenge. Thank you again, Alma, so very much. And hopefully somebody on the overnight crew will pick it up and finish that off, and then we'll just have Monday and Tuesday to deal with. So thank you all very kindly. Thank you, Sparky, for moderating the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable once again. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Stay well and be well. And thanks to Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and the struggle continues. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, as if it all isn't sort of weekend right now, but have a great one. Later, y'all. Back for more on Monday. Wash your hands.